Ready?
Simon Shin Mem Seif Ches. Al Rabo Sherov Chachmaso Mimenu. In Mikra, Mikra, Mishnah, Mishnah regarding Mara, your Rebbe, you taught you most of your knowledge, and it sounds like you could have up to three, Rabo Sherov Chachmaso Mimenu, which is also what we call Rabo Movak. Either the one who taught you the most Tanakh, or the most Mishnah, or the most Gemara. It's well known, Agav, that the Rav said many times that a Rabbi Movak who taught you most of your Chachma doesn't mean whoever taught you the most hours or the most blot. It means whoever taught you your whole derech that that you use for learning, your derech halimut and your yisodos that you're learning. So, Korea, yes?
I'm sorry, just you say you could have, like, each one of those three is its own separate category. You could have one of each, or it doesn't mean that, like, whatever it is that you are a specialist in, whoever you know most Chachma.
Interesting. That's you understood that if you're a Baal Mikra, then it's Mikra. If you're a Baal Mishnah, then it's Mishnah. Interesting.
Well, that's
that's why you understood it also. You're two and I'm only one. Look at that. Okay, you're right. The Baal Shulchan agrees with you. Okay, fine. Maskim. Okay, so whatever you learn, if you know Mikra, whoever taught you the most Mikra, if you know Mishnah, whoever taught you the most Mishnah, if you know Gemara, whoever taught you the most Gemara, so whoever taught you the most in your life, Koweh Kol Begadav Ad Shemegal Libo. Here we have a big machlokes Rishonim, maybe we won't. Right, it's clear that the Chiyuv for Rabo is greater than the Chiyuv for Stam Chacham, right? Because otherwise, what's the Chiddush of Rabo? So the question is just, what's the greater Chiyuv of Rabo compared to a Stam Chacham? The Rambam says that what's the Chiddush of Rabo, that it's like Ava Eim, as we'll see later, not just your one bag at a tefach, but to tear all the layers of Begadim until you reveal your heart. But many other Rishonim say no. That's not the Chiddush of Rabo. After all, there is one opinion that we saw earlier. The Rambam holds that Bein L'Chacham, Bein L'Rabo, Yutir Achi Achi Megalos Libo. But most Rishonim say no. Bein L'Chacham, Bein Le. Bein l'chacham, bein l'rabo, you only tear a tefach. So what is the chiddush of the chumra of Rabo? So, we say here, the shita of the rush that says, ve'einu ma'achal olam, you can never fully sew it back together again. Unlike for a regular chacham, you can fully sew it back together. For Rabo, you can never fully sew it back together. That's the chiddush. Ve'afilu mishmur choka korev l'olam. And likewise, that even if it's been more than 30 days, you tear kriya forever, as opposed to a regular chacham, which is only toch lamed yom. So those are we passing the two chumras of Rabo, that no matter how long it's been, you still have to tear, even if you hear years later, and that you can never fix it again. But if you didn't learn most of your chacham, even if you learned a little for him, then you don't tear except in a way similar to, then you only tear according to the rules of other relatives, not according to the rules of Avaim, as we saw in Sif Zion. Even if you only learned one thing, then you tear from you tear like in Sif Zion.
Just one more point within the three things. Mm-hmm.
Fall under Gemara. Rambam would say it falls under Gemara.
Okay.
All right. If you're machshav machshavi, you hold like the Rambam, then it's part of Gemara. Nah. If you're not machshavit, then it's not here.
Whether
you're machshavit
or not, in terms of like what would be considered a Rebbe in terms of this whole
thing. It's a good question. What if you have a Rebbe who taught you Gemara and a Rebbe who taught you machshava?
If this person is a Baal machshavi, so he's known for his machshava.
Yeah, it's, nearly I'm a litvak, I would go with Gemara and halacha. Okay. So we see from here that Rabbi Movak has certain chumras, and a regular Rebbe is just like Sif Zion, And as our mother, we yesh amri karsha rabba she'inu b'vaknami einu mas'acha. No, even for regular Rebbe Tolson, mas'acha. Okay, we're not going to go through all of the, maybe we won't go through all of the details. Now, we've shown him, Tamid chom she'oshim v'yachad v'makshim farkim zel zel v'lom v'yachad yesh amri she'inu karsha rabba she'inu yesh amri k'dinam ke rav mofak v'yesh amri she'inu sarach l'kroa. Okay, so the Talmidei Chachamim who learned together, and maybe they just learned b'chabura instead of with a Rebbe, so some people say it's like Rav She'enu Movak, and some people say it's like Rav Movak. V'yesh omrim, j'ein shrikhan likra ala rabba shalom der Rav Chachmasa, aval chaveirim halom dem zem zel shor hei erenav davar echad, einu ala chumar bi'alma, v'eichad nog nog, v'eichad lo nog lo nog, v'ein morin kem v'chein nog, v'hakal dinos eilu. This all has to do with the story of Rav Safra, right? Remember we said that they didn't hear for Rav Safra, and they said, what do you mean? He's a chacham, and we know his shmuos. So the question is, does that mean if you know his shmuos, that's a chiyuv even, you know, because it makes him your Rebbe, and you have a chiyuv for Rebbe? So that's what we saw, basically, three opinions. The first opinion, the mechaber, is that for a Rebbe who you only learned a little from, your korea, but without the chumras of einam achal olam and shmur rechoka. The Ramah Kosiyesh Omer says, no, with the Rebbe, you still have, that you've learned a little from, you still have one Chumrah of Einam Asache, and the Yesh Omer, the last opinion in the Ramah, is that nope, for a Stam Rebbe, there's no Chiv at all, more than a regular Chacham, and we already saw earlier that for some reason we're not knowing to tear on a regular Chacham, and that's the accepted Halacha L'maisa. Nowadays, is that this chiyuv is only for Abba Mufak, that you learned Rav Chachma Mimenu, but not for just anyone you learn something from. We all have probably 100 Rebbeim that we learned something from in our lives. We paskin, like Nagul Hakol Medinas Elu, only on a Rabba Mufak. Even on a Rabba Mufak, many people nowadays say that nowadays Svarim are a Rabba Mufak, because we learn more from Svarim than from our Rebbeim, because we have a lot of Svarim. And Chazal didn't have any Sfarim, it was all Baal Peh. And even the Rishonim, they had a couple of Sfarim, but nowadays we have everything written in Sfarim. Okay, so there are different Menhagim nowadays from what I've seen. Those who are Mekel and say, nowadays our Rabba Mubak and Sfarim have what to rely on, but I've seen a lot of people, even though I haven't really seen people tear for another Kosher nowadays, like the Ramah says we don't, I haven't really seen people tear for a Stam Talmud Chacham nowadays very much. But for Rabba Mavak, I have seen people tear Kriya for Rabba Mavak nowadays, and therefore that would be an appropriate thing to do.
Like when
we're listening
with Nifker, do people tear Kriya?
When we're listening with Nifker, a lot of people tore Kriya of his Talmidim of Hakim. Yes.
Isn't that even an added thing, because he's like a
Gadol? Right, the other thing is, since he was a Gadol who probably knew how to paskin even for Maseches Kala, I never asked him Shilas Maseches Kala, so I can't tell you. So that's an added thing. So sometimes when the Gedolei Ador pass away, there are those who tear Kriya, maybe Midin Nasi or something like that, Lamaisa, those who don't, basically those who ignore Sifim Hei through Ches have something different thing to be Samechan on each of these, but at least in Sif Ches, there are many Bnei Torah who do tear for Rabba Mufak. And in Tzav Zayin, there are some people who tear for Mamish, the Gadol Ador. Although that's not as common. Okay, Sif, Tess, let's go back to the more, not Ma'aseh B'chol Yom, hopefully very infrequently, but the more practiced halachas of tearing Kriya for relatives. Tess. Al kol ha'meisim korei lev tefach v'vet el yom v'dayo al ov v'imo korei kol v'gadol v'filu lovish yod ad shemegalo libo. Okay, so here we have a whole bunch of differences between tearing for parents and tearing for other relatives. Number one, other relatives you only tear a tefach and only on your top garment. While parents, you tear all the garments, no matter how many layers he's wearing, he tears them, and he tears not just a tefach, but all the way down till below his heart to reveal his heart. And this is not just a hiddur, he's not yotzei me'ikra din for caring for parents if he didn't tear all his begadim. The garin bow. And we yell at him, calls monstrous beged, love armor, little cross, we lack our shlosh. As long as he's wearing that beged, we tell him to tear. And if he's wearing a different beged, then it's not going to help anymore. But that beged he should have torn, the chi remains that he should tear it, even after 30 days, even if a long time has passed. The we'll see. This might be a little bit Nogela Maisa. The question is, how Davka is that Beget Elyon, right? On the parent, you tear, if the guy's wearing three layers, he tears all three. On another relative, he only tears the outermost layer. How important is it to tear the outermost layer? So, the Pesachei Tshuva here says, Pesachei Tshuva and Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Gilyon Maharsha and basically everyone on the side talks about that. And they bring a big machlokes achronim. Most achronim say it's not ma'akev. If he tears the bigger tachton, let's say he's wearing a sweater and a shirt. If he tears the shirt instead of the sweater, then he would be yotze. That is the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Ginas Radim, the Perech Matei Aron, and the Gilyon Maharsha quotes from the Knesses Hagdola. However, there is another opinion, Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes from the Shut Toras Chesed, that it's ma'akev, if he only tears the Beget Tachton, not the Beget Elyon, and therefore, there is, one should try to be ma'akev to tear the Beget Elyon, but if someone accidentally tears the Beget Tachton, then b'di eved, most achronim hold their yotze, and they would not have to tear, again. There are even some achronim who say, the Divrei Sofer here quotes some achronim, let's leave that. Okay, so b'dieved, they'd be yotzei, but it's controversial. We'd follow the majority opinion that they're yotzei. The Shach here in Sifkatan, Yotes, quotes another difference.
So if someone's wearing a sweater and you were sliding over a funeral, you would, let's assume they'd rather rip their shirt than their sweater.
Uh-huh.
You would tell them to take off their sweater.
Uh-huh. So that's the big question. They're allowed to take off their sweater. The Pnei Baruch, actually, here, the Art School book, I only have the Hebrew version, but I think it's the same thing, quotes a big machlokes achronim. Are they allowed to take off their top garment in order to tear a different, less valuable garment? And he quotes that it's a big machlokes achronim, but many poskim, including the Gesher Achayim in the more modern era, and the Chachmas Adam more classically, say that he'd be allowed to take off a sweater to save money and rip a shirt instead. And therefore, if someone didn't want to tear their outermost layer, then there's what to be somech on to take off their outermost layer and tear an inner layer instead.
Being they were doing the kriya at the funeral,
if they took it off beforehand, then that would for sure be okay. Meaning, if they decided to go to the funeral without a sweater, because their sweater costs a lot of money and their shirt is much cheaper, that would for sure be okay. The question is, they get to the funeral, the rabbi tells them to tear. And then they say, oh, can I tear my shirt instead of my sweater? And the rabbi says, no, you have to tear your outermost layer. And then they say, can I take off my sweater? So that's a big machlokes. The Pnei Baruch quotes from the Gesher Chaim, who's Mekel, but he quotes from the Har Tzvi of Tzvi Frank, who's Machmir. Lomaisa, more achronim are Mekel on this. And therefore, if he wanted to, he would have what to rely on.
There are two still in Makkah, because even if he didn't take it off, according to a lot of the Achronim,
he'd be able to be the Eved. Right, the Eved. But we want to know the Chachila.
In the third side, if you bump the sweater into the category, the clothing doesn't wear all the time.
Correct. Let's get to that in a moment. That's going to be much more complicated when it comes to suit jackets. Agav, that's the first difference. The first difference is, it's really two differences. Tefach beget elyon, because it's the difference how many layers and how far down, versus kol begadav ad shigalos libo. The second difference is mentioned in the Shach here, in Simchat Yotes. He quotes an old minhag that for other relatives you tear on the right, and for parents you tear on the left, and the diok is because ad shigalos libo, everyone's heart is on the left side. Even if you're a lefty, your heart's still on the same side as righties. Your heart's always on the left side. He quotes a whole discussion here from the Bach, and he questions whether this is a minhag or whether this is a din. Is this a din? Because the Gemara says libo, which indicates the left, or is this just a minhag? We paskin is just a minhag. The minhag l'chadchila is that parents from the left side and other relatives from the right side, neither way is ma'akev to the eved, but it's a very, very, very strong minhag that everyone keeps. Yud. Here's the tricky part. The Gemara says, Afraksuso inu tzorch lekroa. You don't have to tear your afrakesis. The question is just, what is an afrakesis? And here we have a tremendous machlokes min hakatze el hakatze. Well, we have three opinions, right? What is it? It is, according to Rashi, according to Rashi, what's afraksuso? And why is it putter? Rashi says, it is a sudar, it is a kerchief. And it's because you put it on your head and not on your body, even though it also lands on your body.
It is a sudar berosho.
And even though it also goes on your shoulder, since the ikker, you put it on your head and not on your torso, it's not a shirt, but a headgear, and therefore you are putter. The aruch
says, a beged zeah, an undershirt.
And that's not a real garment because you only wear it, like nowadays we have underwear, right? Well, you only wear it to absorb the sweat, etc., not for real clothing. That's why we call it underwear, not regular clothing. sorry. The smag writes that it's a, well, unclear exactly what he writes, but he sort of understands, and maybe a little bit hinted in Rashi, that it is an outer garment that's not part of regular clothing. It's only worn for what they call tznius. It has nothing to do with what we call tznius, meaning in this particular sense. It doesn't mean so that you're not naked. it means for, like, extra dignity. So it is a... extra outerwear that's not part of normal clothing, that's only worn for special reasons, which then becomes tricky in the achronim exactly how to define. First, let's figure out how we paskin, says the Mechaber. Yod afraksuso eino tzarech lekroa, yesh varshim shubeget azeh davuk lebesaro. Right? That was the aruch. V'yesh v'farshim eino beget el yonshagor and kafa, it is the outer jacket. That's the smag. The pashat aminag, the shalol lekroa kafa al shomeis afil avimo v'lekroa l'avimo gam acholok shekorin kamisa, says the Mechaber,
he says, like the aruch.
We don't tear the,
he says, like the,
he says that the minig becomes like the smag,
right? We don't tear the outer jacket, but we do tear the undershirt.
Adds the Ramah, do you say, Eloi noin kelein korin acholik shal pishin du beged azeh? We don't wear the linen undershirt. The law sar bel elyon, or the outer coat. Avol shar begad akorei ba'avim shar meis ma'avol shal elyon tachas asar bel,
says the Ramah, we paskin like both of them.
Right? So even though it's hard to imagine that afraksuso means both of them, the Ramah thinks they're both good svaras. Even if afraksuso only means one, they're both good svaras, and therefore our minhag nowadays is a very clear minhag that we pass like both of them. No one tears their undershirt, and no one tears their sarbel. Now, the question, the tricky part just is, exactly what kind of outer garment is the one you don't tear, and what kind of outer garment is the one that you do tear. And here, the Achronim had a big machlok, is about something called a rock, some sort of jacket called a rock. I don't know, I never owned a rock. That everyone agrees, they quote, that you don't tear the mantle that you wear on top, or the shul mantle. But what about this rock? So this is a famous machlokes, Shach and Taz, about the rock. Right, the Shach is in Sivkot and Chof, and then again in the Nekudas HaKesef, and Taz in Sivkot and Hay.
The Shach says Chayav, and the Taz says Potter.
Why did the Taz say Potter? The Taz says Potter because, what's his getter? Why does it?
You don't wear it in your mouth.
Exactly. Potter, because you don't wear it in the house. And it seems like everyone agreed that you don't wear it in the house. They didn't argue in Metzius. What did the Shach say? You're chayiv because, not just because it's chashev. What does he say in the Kudas Kesef? What does he explain? Because you must, exactly, that's what I mean, wear it in the street. Meaning, it's not just an optional thing that you wear on special occasions for unique, no, it's something which, if you don't wear it in the street, then you're low class. Right? That's what means that Gnai. So here, this seems to be the machlokas. If it's something which you wear at home, everyone agrees you tear it. If it's something which you don't wear at home, and you don't even wear in the street only for special occasions, everyone agrees you don't tear it. If it's something which you wear it, you don't wear it at home, but you always put it on when you go to the street because it's improper to walk in the street without it, that's the machlokas between the Shach and the Taz. And apparently in their days, their jackets, they wouldn't wear at home. But if you walked in the street without a jacket, then you were low class. And therefore, it's about focusing the Shach and the Taz. How does that correspond to modern day realities? Right? So what about a suit jacket? Right? What about a suit jacket? So I think if one thing is clear, meaning a coat or a fleece or something you only wear when it's cold or raining or etc. outside, that's clearly putter. That's not bain l'shach, bain l'tad. That's not regular clothing. That's just protection, special protection of the elements if it's a bad weather day, you know, or a good weather day, or mm-hmm. whatever yashkafan
that
others.
Is regular clothing, just not for a kavod.
Right, okay, correct. It's only things you only wear for protection against certain kind of elements is for sure putter. The whole question, you know, what about sweaters? People don't wear sweaters in the summer, but they wear them in the winter. you know, yesh lodon a little unsweated, but you wear them in the house. You don't only wear them when you go outside. You wear them in the house also, and it's like normal. It looks, you get dressed up nicely. You consider it a regular piece of clothing if you wear a sweater. And what about jackets? So let's start with jackets. What about suit jackets nowadays? So that is a big controversy, and it might depend who you are. Meaning, it could be that, you know, in the Mea Sharim, they might have a different halacha about suit jackets than in Efrat, not because they have different shitas necessarily, but because they have different metzias. But in our circles, in, you know, in American yeshivish circles, Rabbi Willing says that who needs to wear a suit jacket all the time? Nah, you wear a suit jacket for special occasions. No one wears a suit jacket at home. And you're not low class if you don't wear a suit jacket in the street. Nah, you don't have to wear a suit jacket in the street. I don't know what it's like in other places.
Isn't it depending on who you are?
Maybe.
Doesn't Remy bring a jacket every day?
What?
Doesn't Remy bring a, wear like a jacket every day?
You know, I walk in the street without
a
jacket.
Business wearing jackets.
Right,
if
but you
would want to be dignified, they would for sure only wear.
Correct, but that's like a shulmantel for certain occasions. But
because of certain occasions,
it wouldn't. If you saw Ray Miller walking in the street without a suit jacket, would you think critically of him? Would you be upset?
I'd be surprised.
What?
I'd be surprised.
Oh, okay, sitter. All right. Anyway, Lamaisa, maybe Ray Willie travels in more liberal circles than Ray Miller then. Lamaisa, Ray Willie Paskin, that there's no chiyuv kriya on a suit jacket because a suit jacket is not even a chluka shach and taz. Even the shach would potter a suit jacket because you could be a rabbi in America and walk in the street without a suit jacket.
Are we saying it should depend on the society, or why shouldn't it depend on you and what's considered a normal garment for each individual person?
could be that. The dependent on society depend on you? Good question. I mean, you know, what if in your society it's one thing? But I still, would you consider it a cow in Riverdale? Would you be considered a cow if you walked in the street without a suit jacket? Even if they might expect the rabbi to. They wouldn't say you're a cow, you're low class, you don't wear a suit jacket. They would just say, maybe you're not the rabbi.
But not about expectations. Certain people just, that's the way.
Even in Lakewood, you can walk in your short sleeves in the street in Lakewood. Not the Rosh Hashiva, but a regular guy can, and Avraham can. All right. So the Maisa, bottom line, Jackets are very willig, is very makel in jackets, but it's very controversial because of two things. First of all, depending on where you are, and it's not only a matter of, you know, what religious community you are, you know, obviously there are some businesses where you have to wear a jacket all the time, etc. In the old days, the president had to wear a jacket all the time. I don't know if he still does.
Come on, now while he's golfing.
Yeah, that's different. But also because, like, a jacket is really, like, part of your clothing. Like, you buy a suit jacket. That's your suit. That's your normal clothing. You don't really think of that as extra clothing. Like, a special extra jazz coat that you put on for special occasions. It really is part of your everyday clothing. So, lemaisa suit jackets are controversial. Lemaisa suit jackets are controversial. And therefore, the mainstream minhag and the proper practice is that we should be mechalek between parents and let's say someone has a suit jacket and a shirt, like many people do, especially when they go to funerals. If it's their own relative, especially, they wear a suit jacket and a shirt. So if it's parents, the question is, should you tear only the shirt or the suit jacket? So the mainstream minhag is to tear the suit jacket and the shirt. And therefore, you know, if you were supposed to tear the suit jacket, you did. And if not, then you at least tore the shirt, right? So for parents where you have to tear all the layers, we are machmir to tear the suit jacket and the shirt. What about other relatives? Other relatives, you only tear one layer. Then it becomes tricky. Why? Because if you tear the suit jacket and it wasn't really chayav, then you're not yotzei at all. You tore a non-relevant beged. If you tore the shirt, let's say you tore the suit jacket, but you were wrong, then you didn't do kriya. If you tore the shirt and you were wrong, then you tore the beged tachton instead of the beged elyon. And according to most achronim, beged tachton is okay v'diyevet. And not only that, it's not so clear the shirt is even a beged tachton. Why? Because like the part where someone tears in the shirt is not actually covered by the suit jacket. So maybe it's not even such a beged tachton. Maybe beged tachton means you don't see it. Right? Then it's like a very v'diyevet or kriya. What do you mean? No one even sees because it's underneath something? So, but a shirt, even a guy's wearing a suit jacket and tears his shirt, it's very visible. You know, it's elyon in the middle. You know, over here it's elyon. So lemaisa, the proper practice is that for parents, tear the suit jacket and the shirt and be machmir. For other relatives, now you can't tear two garments for other relatives. That's baltashlis. You have to pick one. Better to pick the shirt and not the jacket, because then you're pretty confident that you're yotzei, at the very least on the b'diavad level. If someone wanted to be, yotzei according to all possibilities, then they could just take off their suit jacket, you know, bishas kriya, or even before kriya, and then their upper leg is for sure the shirt. But even if people usually don't do that, it's awkward in front of the whole funeral for a person to start taking off the suit jacket, it looks funny. Lemaisa of the minig is for other relatives, just tear the shirt, because you know the shirt is a beged that shayach to kriya. For parents, tear both. I'm not sure what it will be to, but the mainstream meaning is for parents to tear both and be machmer, and, you know, someone only has two parents, if they have to lose a suit jacket for each one, then it's worth it for all the parents did for them. That should be the halacha l'maisa. What about sweaters? Sweaters are also a tricky kind of thing. My impression is that if someone, like, has a sweater they only put on when it's chilly to protect themselves from the elements, then maybe you should treat it like a suit jacket. But I think a lot of sweaters are, you know, are part of how you get dressed up. And you don't take them on and off all day. You people have put on a sweater and that's their outfit and they wear it all day. So I think if it's a sweater that's part of an outfit someone wears all day, then that is a regular garment. If it's a sweater which you only put on when it's cold, and meaning, if during the winter they wear the sweater all day and it's part of their outfit that they walk around with, you know, for 12 waking to 16 waking hours, then I think that sweater for sure counts as a garment. It's just like two layers. You know, like women sometimes have like sweater sets that have two layers, etc. If it's a sweater that, someone only puts on when it's really cold, but, you know, they take off as soon as they get home, etc., then I would treat it like a suit jacket. I think we assume that ties are not real begotten. You know, those are more like the sudar, the pshat of Rashi, that it's not because of that, it's just, it's not a regular clothing that covers the main part of your body. So we generally do not tear ties.
Is there a difference between which one you should tear first in terms of its proximity to Tzedek HaDin or anything like that? Like, you want to tear, like, the shirt before the jacket or, like...
It's an interesting question. Usually, in old fashion, when they had multiple layers, obviously you tear the outer layer first because otherwise how you get to the inner layer. Although we'll see, it's not so poshut. Does it matter which layer you tear first? I don't know. I don't see that there's a requirement to tear either one first.
And a talos katan we don't tear?
Talos katan is very controversial. Great question. It's not found in the Nosi Kalim here at all. But this is a tremendous question. The Netziv famously, in the Shut Meshiv Davar, said you don't tear a talos katan. A talos katan is not a regular kind of clothing. This gets very tricky philosophically because on the one hand, we all know a talos katan is not a regular kind of clothing. It's just a ritual object. On the other hand, the chiyuv tzitzis is because it's a real thing. I mean, if it's really a ritual object, it might not be a good ritual object. So it's very tricky philosophically what a talis katan is. It's a big machlokas. The Netziv was famously mekel, and there's 100 achronim or machra, 100 achronim or mekel. The Geshur HaChaim says the minhag olam is not to tear the talis katan, and every country I've been in, that's the minhag olam, not to tear the talis katan. Because we only wear it for ritual purposes. Okay. Even though that's a little questionable, but nonetheless. What?
That child of the talis katan will only be for the avanim.
Correct, but only be for the avanim, because no one has their outer layer of the talis katan. What?
In a normal case, would they be wearing a tzitzis? Like, if he's an onain, they have a tzitzis.
If he's an onain, would he be wearing his tzitzis? Okay, we'll get to that, but certainly you could have lots of cases where it would come up. What?
Chassidim
have, well, a real chassid certainly does not because he would never take off his frock. A modern chassid. A modern chassid would have his tzitzis as his outer garment, and then it could come up. But lemaisa, I'm not familiar, never officiated a chassidic funeral. I think it could be that even the chassidim, but the lemaisa, they would tear their shirt. You know, if a chassid asked me, I would tell him to tear his shirt. I would tell him to tear, even on shy relatives, to tear his shirt, and that way he's vada yotzi. That's about it for Sif Yud. You know, there'll be more differences between parents and other relatives later. Women and men have the exact same chiyuv of kriya, except, we'll see that it looks like there's one exception here. There's actually two exceptions. One exception is here, and the other exception is three sifim later, that a woman, what does a woman do? The problem for a woman is more a problem with tznius. A man, obviously, it's normal tznius that a ben Torah doesn't walk around with ripped clothing, you can see his chest through it. But for Avelis, he davka looks a little more, improper, because that's the kiyum of kriya of Avelis. However, for women, it's not just a matter of they don't look so distinguished. It could be a problem of pritzas of Yetzer Hara for a woman to reveal herself through kriya. And this is a sorry. This is a big machlokas tanoim. Whether we're choshish for her or we are not choshish, or it may or may not be my folks tanoim, right? Rav Shimon Lazar says that she has to cover herself and not reveal herself. Question is, does the Tanakhama disagree, or does the Tanakhama not disagree? So some Rishonim don't say anything. The Rambam, I don't know, maybe they're a little naive. The Mordechai and the Rambam just seem to make women and men exactly equal. Okay, why are they not worried about Yitzhara? Because at the time of Tzara, people are not thinking about the Yetzer Hara. However, we paskin, and that was the tour of the Beis Yosef, we paskin like the Rebbe Shimon Elazar. So here the Chachamim, and that leads to the Rambam and the Mordechai. They don't distinguish. The Rav Shimon ben Elazar, the Tana, leading to the Tor, and the Beis Yosef. say, what does a woman do? So says the Mechaber here, she tears her bottom layer. We see, by the way, here, it's okay to tear the bottom layer first, even though normally in the old days, they tear the upper layer first. She tears the bottom layer, and then she turns her shirt around, the bottom shirt around, and then she tears the top layer, so she tears the bottom layer to reveal her heart, but you can't see anything, she has the top layer. Then she turns the bottom shirt around 180 degrees. Now she tears the top layer to reveal her heart, but you can't see anything. She turned around the bottom layer and it's covering her skin. And therefore she doesn't reveal anything. And even though she's not Mamish Megalos Libo, we're makel to let her do this because of Tznius. Why do we pass like a Das Yochid instead of the Rabbi? And Beis Yosef has two opinions. Number one is he says, maybe it's not really Machlokas Tanoim. The Chacham just didn't say anything. Rosh Hashanah said something. So maybe it's not a machlokas. They didn't say anything. And then he explained something and filled it in, but it wasn't a machlokas. He was just pointing something out. Or he says that, and here's an interesting, a valuable commentary on the importance of tznius. He said, even if it is machlokas tanoim, and even if we usually passim like the rabbim against the yachid, here we passim like the yachid because he's logically correct. Because we do have to worry about the impropriety, and even though it could be that if someone's father just passed away, they have no space in their head for the Itzahara, but there's another 100 people at the funeral. And even though they're very sad someone died, we're not naive, and we all know that there's still plenty of room in their heads for the Itzahara, and therefore we're very makbid on tznius for a woman. Halacha l'maisa, a woman who tears kriya should never compromise tznius, and not only that, the Shach says here, what about the fact that we, Ashkenazim, don't tear the undershirt? Now, even if she has some sort of undershirt, she should still do what it says here in the Mechaber, because even revealing her undershirt is too much priestess. Okay, I mean, there's undershirts and there's undershirts. Obviously, yeah. But the principle is that we don't compromise tznius, so what do? Here's where it gets just a little bit tricky. For shar krovim, what do? That's easy. We just tell women to wear two layers to the funeral. Again, I don't mean a coat. I mean like women for sure. Women's tops come in two layers, which are both regular clothing. And then she tears the top layer and leaves the bottom layer, and there's no problem with tznius. That's easy. But what do if a woman's parent passed away? So the problem is that in our modern day clothing, it's not so simple to do what it says here in the Mechaber, right? Their clothing was more symmetrical, whatever the word is. Like you could turn it in, we'll see, you could turn it in much weirder directions later on. Then you could also turn it upside down. Like their clothing is totally different than our clothing. Our clothing, usually, you have to wear it the way it's made. You can't like put it backwards. I'm pretty sure if you tried to wear our shirts backwards, you wouldn't be able to like use your arms or something. We have very different types of clothing than they did. So what do we do nowadays? For Avraham, so if you can figure out a way to tear, somehow her clothing works in a way that you can like tear one layer, tear the bottom layer, and then like safety pin it. And then tear the top layer and safety pin it, and you still won't be able to see through it because maybe you tear like a few inches away and it sits very nicely. If you can manage to do it in a way that's tznius, or pull it a little and tear it and then pull it back, then if the woman's wearing clothing that you can bitznius tear in two layers, but safety pin it and tears the two layers are not on top of each other and not compromise tznius, you do it, says the Aruch HaShulchan, even that's not always so pashut, says the Aruch HaShulchan here in Se'if Yud, in the Aruch HaShulchan here, that she can, if she doesn't have a good way to preserve tznius, even for Avva'im, she can only tear the outer layer. Even for Avva'im, she can only tear the outer layer. So, that's the minhag in many places, is that a woman only tears her outer layer even for Avva'im, even though we said Lo Yotza in this case, but because of tznius, she does that. Okay, unless she has clothing that's very easy to tear in another way. The Baal Yeh Shulchan says, what if she was only wearing one layer to the funeral? Then, no matter what kind of relative, now you're in trouble. She only has one shirt. Then what does she do? Then the only option is a woman goes with her into a closed room and helps her tear. And then she brings a lot of safety pins and safety pins it up with pin safety pins, like, you know, like overlaps it and safety pins it so that you can't see anything, and that would be my turn.
Why would our people say you should better not be Yosei that rely on Kamala anymore? Asking like a very clear
Because it's this. Because he has a healthy respect for the Yetzirah. It's important to have a healthy respect for the Yetzirah, not underestimate your enemy.
But given that Ashkenazim do wear undershirts, and even according to those who say that you want to not wear undershirts, they wear undershirts and undershirts, wouldn't you say that you should do whatever outer layer is other than the other undershirt?
Yeah, but what if the one's not wearing undershirts? You have to use your judgment, but Lemaisa, there's room to be Makel to only tear an outer layer, and that's what many people do just to avoid priestess.
I think women often wear a layer that's kind of an undershirt, but it's not really for sweat. It's actually probably for tsnius often, or
shell.
A shell. Yeah.
Yes.
So would that
is that something only shark women do for tsnius, or is that also regular women do, out in America. I always wonder
just
about these
Jewish
things.
Women.
Just, yeah. Anyway, yeah, so the mice, I think there are certain kinds of undershirts nowadays, like a shell, that it's not priestess to reveal, and then you'd be okay.
As a rabbi, you should tell the congregants to tell the woman to dress appropriately.
First of all, you should definitely tell the woman to wear two layers. Definitely tell the woman to wear two layers. And
that doesn't help
with the what?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And what's the very do for Avaim? A lot of rabbis, most rabbis in America just rely on the Aruch HaShulchan and only cut the outer layer, even though that's a big chiddush, for the sake of tznius. Okay.
Not to advise or to figure out a way to make it work.
So what? Yes, it is. Although, you have to ask, what if you don't do it properly? If someone's wearing two full good layers, and then they take one layer and they pull it a little this way. First of all, if they're good Rebbetzin, he knows how to do that, and tear it. And take the other layer and pull it all the way the other way and then tear it. And then they move to 8 inches away from each other, which is the sort of equivalent to what Machaber says. And you safety pin them. Then you can get away with that. but not all, not always are you so well prepared and you know what's going on. So I guess the Rebbetzin should be well trained in these things and always have a lot of safety pins in case of emergency.
How far is the Achimagala?
Under your heart? You have a heart?
Don't
what? This is my heart, no? He's a doctor. He knows where the heart is. You can feel it.
It's the top of the bone.
What? A megala means to the bottom of the... look over to under your heart. Okay. It's like here. Bottom of your pocket. Right? That covers your heart nicely. That's why they put pockets here. So you'll know that you have a heart. Yes. I mentioned I'm becoming more facetious. Okay. Yud base. Here we also have a machlokes tanam about this between the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. The chachamim say, "Do you have to mavdil kamei safa? Do you have to rip the seam? No, not the seam. Rip the end. You know, in our clothing, in the old days, in the days of Chumash, it's clear that most clothing did not necessarily have this." Did not have our clothing. It has a reinforced edge, so it won't tear. But most of our clothing has this reinforced edge, so it won't tear. It's much easier to tear, and if you just start from under the reinforced edge and tear down. So do you have to start from the edge, or can you start under the edge and just tear the rest of the garment? So here we have Machlokes Tanan. The Chacham say it's a chomer v'avaim. You have to be mavdil kamei safa. You have to tear from the top. Well, for other relatives, you could start an inch down and then tear. And Rabbi Yehuda says you always have to. He says any kriya where you don't tear from the top is not a kriya. So the Machaber paskins like the Chachamim. I'll call Mason. He says, I'll call Mason in Ratzah Miniyat Svasa Begit Shleim V'Koreim Asaf L'mata. On all of the relatives, if someone wants, they can leave the edge of the top edge of their garment intact and just go a little down and tear downwards. Well, of the emo, they have to tear from the top. The Yeshom, which says, though, Avol Shar Mason Shor L'Kuah Safa, that Mordechai V'Kein Noah again. Okay, so the Sfaradim Paskin like the Tanakama, the Chachamim, that you have to, that only for Avaim you have to tear from the top, while the Ashkenazim, sorry, Paskin, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to, that on all Mason, you have to be Mavdil Kamesafa, you have to tear from the top. I don't know what Sfaradim do nowadays. My bet is that even nowadays, everyone just starts from the top and tears. Yud Gimel, call him Asim, Yeshul Korb, Fnim, Shul, Fnay, Adam, Fnay, Yeshul, Kunish, Yadam, Fnim, Korb, Tsin, Well, of Ima, Ini, Korb, Lukos, Fnay, Kol, Adam. This is another difference between Abba, Aim, and everyone else. If we just list all the differences between Abba, Aim, and everyone else, right? Abba, Aim, Shar, Krovin. Here it was Beged Elyon, and here it is called Bukanda. Nope. Other way around. Beged Elyon and Kol Begodav, and here it is Tefach and Ad Sheyigale Es Libo, and here this is a Minhag, but Smol and Yamin, we pass it's a Minhag. The Shach said I can't prove it's a Minhag, but the Bach says we pass like Bach, it's just a Minhag, and sorry, and then we said for. According to the Machaber, as opposed to the Ramah, for Ava'im, you have to tear the top edge, and for Shar Krovim, you don't have to tear the top edge. Another difference here, the Gemara says there's something called Bifnim and Mibachutz. On other Mesim, Chayov Likroa Mibachutz, and on Shar Krovim, it's Mutter Likroa Mibifnim. What does it mean, inside and outside? What do these words mean? So here it is a machlokas between Rashi and the and the other Rishonim. Rashi says it means inside a closed room versus in public where everyone's looking. Abba'ein, you have to turn public when the hundreds of people at the funeral are looking. Shar Krovim, you can tear in a room with the door closed where no one is looking. The Ritzkias and the Rabban say, no, it means, can you like stick your hand under where no one's, like, even if you're in public, can you stick your hand under your clothing and tear in a way that's not really visible, your hand's not visible? Or does your hand have to be visible when it is tearing? Halach l'maisa, we passing like the Rambam, who says it's the exact same thing and they're both the same. What, that's what the Mechaber says. If you notice, the Lashon of the Mechaber, he says, an other Mason, he can tear in an inner room where no one's looking, and therefore he can also stick his hand inside his clothing under his coat and tear, because either way, no one's looking. Whether no one's looking at him or no one's looking at his hand tearing, that's the same thing. But an Ava'im, he has to be in public, people are looking, and the Mice has to be in public. He can't put it under his raincoat and tear. He has to tear in a way that everyone is looking at. So he says both these pshatim are really the same thing. Either you're visible or you're not. To be visible, the person has to be visible, and the maisakri has to be visible. And for other krovim, either the person could lock himself up, or the person could be in public, but he could hide the maisakriya. And that makes, that's the psak of the mechaber. It makes a lot of sense. Adds sif yodalit. I'll call a mason, rotsukri b'yad, rotsukri b'kli, I love the emo, b'yad. Okay, that's another difference. These are all from the Gemara. Here it's the Kli. And, no. What I meant to say was, I should have written comes the other way. It always confuses me. Here it has to be Biyad. Well, it's Mutter B'Kli. Right, for other relatives, you can use whatever you want, a knife or by hand. By Av B'Imo, it has to be by hand. L'maisa Arminag is... that of the emo in our modern day clothing, it's very hard to tear by hand. So we start a kolshu with the kli just to get through that tough outer layer, and then they do the main part by hand, and that is good enough. I'll call him some balahachlif top zayin yom and machlif in Korea. I'll love the emo machlif top zayin Korea. Call up government shoot machlif in machlif olam kamo be pa'am ha. We should. Okay, that's referring to the next sif, but here on other krovim. Machlif ve'eno koreya. If he changes his clothing during Shiva, he doesn't have to tear the next one. But for Avaim, for 7 days of Shiva, if he changes his clothing, he has to tear the next one too. Then tear has to continue to exist for the entire Shiva if we're talking about if we're talking about parents. Except, of course, this is very partial to Gemara, the Shach points out, that on Shabbos, of course, is different. On Shabbos, obviously, he switched to something that's not torn because you're not allowed to publicly display Avelos on Shabbos. The Ramah adds, "I'll call Meisim Yochel Lachaser Kro Lachorav Tov Shiva with a little bit of it." Emo. He adds, "Hold on, if you're allowed to change your clothing and not tear for other relatives, you're also allowed to turn your shirt around so the tears in the back and not so visible. After all, that's just like changing." Right? So says the Ramah, Gam Mutter Lahachzir Hakera La'achorav. Right? Now, again, that doesn't work with our modern day clothing, most of it. Maybe some sweaters or something. Well, even then, they're not always symmetrical. Not everyone agrees. The Grud disagrees here. In Sivkot and Lamadalid, he says, Lomash Makain. But Avu Rabasi Sof Perik Yod. Avu Rabasi, by the way, just to get our terminology correct, is, you know, there are Masechtos Ketanos. They're printed in the regular Shas after Nezikin, you know, like after Avos. The Masechtos Ketanos are not Masechtos of Mishnah written by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, but they're very ancient collections of halachos. And a few Masechtos Ketanos that Noah, that are not really quoted by the poskim even. When they discuss the topics they're about, there are a few Masechtos Ketanos that are quoted a lot. One of them is called by two names, Maseches Smachos or Maseches Avol Rabasi. Those are the exact same thing. Smachos is just a euphemism. Lashon Sagi Nahor, Avol Rabasi. So the Gra says, no, if you look there, it really sounds like the Ramah is wrong. To change garments, you don't have to tear. But as long as you have that garment on, you're not allowed to hide the kera. So this is not so lemaisa, but not everyone agrees with this Ramah. Neged Gra, as the Gra says, doesn't sound that way from a Sechus Machos or of a Rabasi. why? Because it says, on Shabbos you can turn it around. And it makes it seem like on a weekday you can't. Okay, not so Lamaisa for us. Anyway, there's another funny heter here in the Taz, quoting the Bach, who says that for that if everyone knows that, if a guy changes, his father dies and he changes, if everyone knows that these are garments he wore before his father died and he's just like found them in his dirty laundry and putting them on again now, or even his closet and putting them on again now, but then he doesn't have to tear. Okay, that is a tremendous chiddush. He seems to say like, well, it's only because it looks bad. But if everyone knows, yeah, this is the, everyone recognizes the shirt he wore the day before his father died. Then he doesn't have to tear if he changes into it because everyone understands that this is a different shirt that he wore before Avelos. Lamaisa, the modern day poskim do not quote, the most modern day poskim do not quote this, and we don't hold like that kula of the Taz. If someone has to change their shirt, usually Avelos don't change their clothing during Shiva. But if someone has to change their clothing during Shiva and their parent died, then they have to tear the new clothing as well. Not like this, and they can't use this kula of the Taz and Sivkot and Zayin.
The Metzias doesn't come up. There's no way of everyone knowing.
Right, not to mention that, but now who knows who wore, although I don't know.
Facebook, yeah.
I don't know, sometimes women know exactly who wore what outfit when. I'm not sure how.
And doesn't mean like new versus old, as in like purchased versus like things belonging to you or
no? No, no, I think it just means that they knew that he,
So can you again explain like what the Sfarim lineup was? How is it a lack, like what was the lumpus that he was working on? What was he assuming that this would suffice?
Then if everyone knew he wore it beforehand, then how does this suffice? So the truth is, if you look at the Bach here, he doesn't really explain himself very well. If you look at the Zayin Bach, he doesn't explain himself terribly well at all. The Taz seems to be very convinced. Okay, in our Taz, in brackets, they added something very strange. Oh, you can wear them after Shiva. Of course you can wear them after Shiva. That's not a Chiddush of Bach. Seems like that you can wear them even during Shiva. The only thing I can't say I'm 100% sure, because it's a very funny one. The only thing I could think is that, you know, if everyone sees that he changes into, like, new clothing, then it'll look disrespectful. After all, he didn't tear his clothing. Maybe they'll think he never tore his clothing. Or even if, you know, they think, or he's changing in, he's getting new clothing to avoid the tear. But if they saw that he wore it beforehand, then maybe it'll just look like, oh, that clothing must have gotten really filthy. And therefore, he found something, you know, and he just put it on Stan, and he wasn't trying to avoid the tears, just like his previous outfit. But I'm not sure. It's still a funny story. The Bach doesn't
stand. I felt like it could have been like that. It was new clothing. Like, to wear new clothing is offensive.
Yeah, but he can't wear new clothing anyway. Even if he tears it.
No, I mean, let's say he had bought new clothing and never worn it before. Then he was going to wear it now, then it's a chutzpah. As opposed to...
Yeah, but it's us for him to wear it even if he tears it.
You're saying that here.
Because of, yeah. So that's what makes it a little tricky. Okay, let's leave that to you.
Because of why?
Because you're not allowed to wear new clothing during Shiva, even freshly laundered clothing.
When do we allow someone to change clothing?
So again, this also, to put on freshly laundered clothing, we don't allow. What about to change to another clothing that he wore once? So here it's a big debate in the Achronim, like, do we need a Shasat Sorech or not? Simple pshat is that it's mutter to change into non-freshly laundered clothing, whatever he wants. But the minig is the availing usually don't change until... and it's Pnei Baruch Taka is Machmir. He says only if you need to, you should change your clothing. Okay, most of what I've seen is that the availing only change their clothing if they need to. Tesva. On all other relatives, you can sew it unprofessionally after Shiva. Again, we don't do any of these things nowadays because we just throw it out. We have a very different economic reality. And you can sew it fully so it looks good after Shloshim. We'll come back to that in a second. No, or a machmir, you can sew it unprofessionally after shloshim, and you can never sew it up fully so it looks good again. Except for a woman who can sew it unprofessionally right away because of kavod, meaning because of tznias, and that's what we said, that if a woman has to tear it away, that's not tznua, just bring a lot of safety pins, I mean, no one's going to start sewing. That's not our lifestyle to like sew on the fly, probably, but bring a lot of safety pins. That's clearly less than sholel, and safety pin it up, and that way you can save the tznius. V'chol zman she'asur lishol filo chav rosh hakel yemachro. Whenever it's asur to do sholel, you're not even allowed to safety pin it. Obviously, they didn't have safety pins, they had regular pins then. You're not even allowed to pin the top, but if you're allowed to be sholel like Isha, then she's allowed to safety pin whatever she wants. Okay, some places of the minig, you can't tell what our place of minig is because we're not sholel and ma'acha anything. We just throw it in the garbage afterwards. Here you have the actual halachas are not sholemaisa, right? Here, just continue the list. Sharkravim, Sholel, Achar Zion, Avaim, Sholel, Achar Lamed, Ma'acha, Achar Zion, Achar Lamed, Eino Ma'acha La'olam. Here, the interesting Lumdish point here is, says the Ramah, a regal is not Mevatel, the time period you're not allowed to resew your clothing. Why is that a Chiddush? A regal is not Mevatel Shloshim, or Shiva for resewing clothing. Why is that a Chiddush? Because a regal is Mevatel. Avelus. So what's pshat in this? So someone quotes me a line from the Gemara. Kriya l'chod v'avelus v'chod. Kriya and avelus are different. Now there's a line in the Gemara that says halach the remekel v'avel, but halach is not always like the mekel in kriya, because kriya is more chumer than avelus a little.
The question is that just a rule of hachra, or is that saying, on the other hand, there are many things which are clearly connected in Kriya and Avelos, like, for example, which relatives count, and what is the din of Shmur Rechoka we'll see, and there's even a Gemara that says, only when someone hears soon enough to sit Shiva, do they tear Kriya. They hear a long time later and don't sit Shiva, then they don't tear Kriya. There's clearly connection between Kriya and Avelos, and they're about the same thing. And there's clearly some distinction, because when it comes to the machriya, machlokis, tanaim, we're more machr by kriya than by avelos. By kriya, we follow the majority opinion. By avelos, we follow the lenient opinion. The question is, what about, you know, everything else? Anything you don't know. Do we say avelos lechud and kriya lechud, or do we say avelos thing is kriya? And this is a fundamental machlokis right here. The Ramah paskins right here, based on the Rav Yah, that avelos lechud and kriya lechud. If you don't know, we always assume Kriya is different from Avelos because it's fundamentally a different Chiyuv. And therefore, Shloshim is Mevatel Avelos, but it's not Mevatel Kriya. The Rabbi Akiva Eger points out here that we'll see much later on at the very end of the Shulchan Aruch Yodea that there's funny ways of counting Shloshim as a regular. Like if someone's relative dies on Chaf Tes Elul, then on Yud Beis Tishrei they finish Shloshim because we count it in funny ways. And therefore, even according to the Ramah, you don't have to wait an actual 30 days. You just have to wait the way we count 30 days. But, forgetting about that, the Ramah says a regular is not mevatel. You still have to wait for some way of counting 30 days. Who disagrees with the Ramah here, Chazki? The Shach disagrees. The Shach says, no. Velas l'chud and kriya l'chud in terms of halachik dibrei mekel, in terms of rules of psach. But in terms of the conceptual nature, velas kriya are the same thing. They're the halakhically mandated reaction to show our sadness when someone dies. There are just two different stages in the sadness. One is the initial reaction called chimum, and the other is the reflective sadness called avelos. There's an initial, I don't know what's good English for chimum, the initial, not just a
struggle. You're looking for it last time.
Yeah. There's the initial emotional outburst. And then there's the reflective sadness. And there might be a technical difference in terms of psak, but they're the same idea. Okay, this is an interesting philosophical machlokas. Are these the same idea or different ideas? The Ramah says different ideas. The Shach says the same idea. And therefore the Shach says shloshim mevatel. And not only that, just like shloshim is mevatel, just like shloshim is mevatel avelos. And even before Yom Tov starts, the person can shower, etc., get rid of, and get a haircut to get ready for Yom Tov, etc. Likewise, they can sew up their clothing before Yontif to get ready for Yontif. That's the Shach and Chof Dalet. Halacha l'maisa, it's not really a nafkamina because we don't sew any of our clothing. I mean, it could be nafkamina theoretically, just like no one ever do it nowadays.
Well, it will have nafkaminas for any other realm, right? I mean, the Shach.
Correct. The nafkaminas might be for other things that we'll see. Correct. L'maisa, the Aruch HaShulchan and most Achronim paskin like the Shach here, that Avelos and Kriya really are related, and therefore Shloshim Mevatel, the Chiyo, to leave your garment torn, like the Shach, against the Ramah.
Just to clarify, a man should never be using a safety pin during Shiva.
What?
A man should never use a safety pin during Shiva.
A man should never use a safety pin during Shiva. That was the Ramah and Tesvav, right? Even to just pin the top together. Ah, what if the man, you can see a little bit of his skin underneath? Okay, good. That's part of the Avelos. The person should be not so dignified. Let them wear an undershirt. A man should not be using a safety pin. That's the first Ramah, right? Also, we might not have known. Maybe a safety pin is less than Sholil and is much of an altar for a man also. But the Ramah says not that way, right? That a pin, again, they haven't invented safety pins yet, but a safety pin is just a pin that is safe because it can't stick you because it goes into that little thingy. That even pinning is considered like shomel. So no, absolutely not. Okay, one other machlokas that comes up here is the Pesachei Tshuva here quotes something from the Taz in 1, 2, 3, 4, even later. The Taz, and before seeing later, the Taz says that for Ava'ain, you can't sew the tear back up but you can cut out that whole piece and replace it with the whole piece. Meaning, you can't fix the kriya, but you can cut out that section and replace it with another section. This is very controversial. Piskei Tshuva here in some kind of tests says that, quotes from the Birkei Yosef, that's the Chidah, that, nope, that counts as self. It's an interesting question. If you don't fix the you do not ma'ache the actual kera, you just replace that whole part of the beged. Is that called fixing the kera? Is that just called avoiding the kera? So, the Taz thinks it's just called avoiding the kera, it's mutter. And the Birkei Yosef, quoted in the Piskei Tshuva in the Gilui Marsha as well, says it's called fixing the kera, it's usser. It's a big machlokas. All the achronim have an opinion about this. Most achronim are mekel, like the Taz, against the Piskei Tshuva here, and say that's just called avoiding the issue, it would be mutter. But again, it doesn't really come up nowadays. And in our modern day clothing, meaning it's not worth replacing the whole piece of the clothing either. We just throw it out and buy another one that's made in Bangladesh very cheap, and we don't worry about it.
Does replacing the mean making a patch? Is that what
you're referring to? Yeah. But I can't imagine anyone would do it nowadays anyway. But Lamaisa, most Achronim are making. Okay, Tess Zion. Al Kola Mason Ratzachol is Kosaval of the Imo Chayev Lachlots Kosef. The Hole Kachne Mita Achi cover. Okay, this is something they used to do in the old days. In Tanakh, you have this a lot. But here you are for Ava'en, you are Chayev Lachlots Kosef. And Eino Chayev. You're a mutter. But you're not chayiv. What does that mean? Can you imagine if I tore it, literally lachlotz is to take out, to free. Imagine someone tore their clothing like this, then they could like pull it down and take their arm out of their clothing. And basically they have no clothing from here, right? Their whole arm and shoulder would be bare. And that was a sign of, sometimes it was a sign of preparedness for war and for hard work, and sometimes it was a sign of mourning in Tanakh. So you're chayiv to do that for your, if someone's parents died. For how long? Until, and for the whole funeral procession, until after the kfura. But if you have been on the godling, photoshielach chalutz kasev, ein tzarech lachlotz. But if the son is an important person, it's not kavanah brias for him to be chalutz kasev, then he does not have to do it. Okay, let's do one more sif, and then we will paskin halacha lamaisa, because I'm sure you'll say, but I've never seen anyone do this in my entire life. And you'll be correct. Let's do one more. Sif Yud Zayin. Nasi domal avach halitzas kasef lekroim yachotz leichoi. A nasi meaning not the president of the Medina, but nasi meaning the president of the Sanhedrin. Is like a father in terms of the chiv halitzas kasef and the chiv kriyim bachotz, and that you're never ma'achem. Kol akor ma'chocham shmeis kemi shivzur b'neim acharei to sholin u'ma'ach lemacher. For a regular chacham who died, whoever tears can be sholel as soon as they leave the funeral and they're not in the either the burial or they just leave the funeral and can do ichoy the next day. What if you just heard the chacham died, you weren't at the funeral, then you can do sholel right away and ichoy the next day. And a nasi rabba muvak, you are sholel the next day and you're never ma'acha. Al chacham cholis b'yamin, how about the chalitzas kasef? So for a chacham, you bear your right shoulder. Well, abez misol, abez din your left shoulder. Al nasi mikanam gan nasi, you bear both your shoulders, and you're really somewhat naked from the top of your body. Well, av bimo rav mubak rotsu mikan rotsu mikan rotsu kol eshdam. For av bimo rav mubak, this old Italian, it can be either right or left or both shoulders. Adds the Ramah. In the end, just give me a second to at least get to the maskav. Yeshom the ashram zara l'nogel l'achlu chotzi klal v'chein nogel v'idna. Nowadays, we don't have this minhag at all, so therefore, all these halachas about chalitzas kasef are irrelevant to us. It seems to me that it would be poshut even without this Ramah, because nowadays, we're all people. It's not kavanah brios to have chalitzas kasef, because no one would walk around like that. But we did. So I would have passed this without the Ramah, just based on Sif Tezayim. Nowadays, even if you're not an Adam Gadol, you're an Adam Gadol for these purposes, and it's against kavanah brios. But, lemaisa, I mean, unless you're, I don't know what people do out there in the world. They walk around, naked in the street. I don't know, but at least in Orthodox circles, we're all gullible enough. But the Mice Dharma says it doesn't matter. We have none of these minhagim anymore nowadays.
Is it usur to do so? The rabbo, rabbo is not one of these people, right? I mean, like the chacham and abbe are like formal positions, as is the nasi, right? So. Rabo, I felt like you don't have to, but if you're coming to, then you're allowed to. But that mashma, that
no, I thought it sounded like you had to, because it goes without Vima, which you have to. It's just optional which. Optional which. The Rabo Mubak goes without Vima. I love Vima, but Rabo Mubak, Rotsmikan, Rotsmikan. If you want right, you want left, if you want both, he doesn't say if you want nothing. Does he?
Well, I guess not.
I hear you're digging the Torah, but I don't think it's a good one. Okay. Yudches, I'll call Mason will show my El Lacher Lamed Yom Eno Korea. Misha Eno Kolib is Dam Lo Tok Shiva Korea, Acher Zion Eno Korea. I love Emo Korea, but hold it clean. Olam Kol Begadov. Okay, Kol Begadov is not really a Kiddush. We already know an of the Emo that you have to tear Kol Begadov and not just your outer garment. But here we have two differences in timing. What's the one difference? The one difference is that for other krovim, shama achar lamid, if you hear more than 30 days after they die, what's the halachic phrase for this? If you hear someone dies more than 30 days later? Shmur rechoka, exactly. Then you are potter, and by avimo, you're chaya forever. Even if someone heard that their parents died 20 years ago, their parents were behind the Iron Curtain, they didn't hear about them for 20 years, they still have to do kriya. The other one is, what about Shama Vilokara Ad Achar Shiva Potter? This is if they heard right away, but they couldn't hear till after Shiva, then they are Potter for other relatives. Why would they not be able to hear? Because they have no shirt. The Shach says, what do you mean they have no shirt? He says, either they're naked, or their shirt is all torn already, and there's no place left to tear, or they're only wearing an undershirt, or they don't own a shirt, they just borrowed a shirt and they don't have permission to tear it, as opposed to, you are chay of la'olams. There are two chay of la'olams for parents. Number one, if they didn't hear yet, no matter what you hear, you're chay of kriya. Number two, if you heard but couldn't tear, then he's chay of kriya no matter how long it takes. And this, you know, it's unlikely, like someone doesn't have a shirt nowadays, but this could happen nowadays. Let's say someone's in the hospital, lo'aleinu, and you're not supposed to tell them their parent died, but they find out, and they're in the hospital gown. So they can't tear the hospital gown. It doesn't belong to them. The hospital doesn't give them permission to tear it. So then, if they're in the hospital gown, for more than 7 days, for other relatives, they're potter, but for their parents, they'd still be chayav to tear whenever they get out of the hospital, or hospital rewards them for good behavior and lets them put on clothing, then they'd be chayav to tear if it was the parents. You know, or it could be, maybe a prison uniform, others. Like, you could have cases like this nowadays, even though it would be pretty rare. You know, maybe someone's in prison, they don't let them tear their prison uniform, or wear regular clothing. And then he gets out of prison a year later. So, if it was his parent, he has to tear kriya a year later.
In the army,
this could be in the army. I think if you're teared, you're not given the army, you're in big trouble. I mean, usually in the army, they'd let you go if chas v'shalom someone's in a avos. But let's say in the middle of a war, right? And whatever. Okay, so you could have these weird cases, even though it's not likely to come up in most people's experience. Yom test. Shem sha'asol achos kereshein was achet ha'chasor lafok sat elyon shobegin l'matav l'achosom. Just like you're not allowed to sew a tear that you're not allowed to re-sew, likewise, you're also not allowed to, even if you turn the bag upside down and put it at the bottom, that doesn't matter re-sewing it. Here, it's actually machlokes tanoim. There are those who are mekel, but that doesn't count as re-sewing when it's now in the bottom and it's no longer in the makom of a kriya. But we are machmir, halach l'maisa, that doesn't help. Afilo kecho so asu lachosu. Even if you sell it to someone, the buyer is not allowed to sew it up. Therefore, you have to tell him. Okay, the Shach discusses, why do you have to tell him? Don't you think he knows the halacha on his own? Says either you just have to tell him to make sure that he won't complain that you ripped him off, or you have to tell him because not everyone knows this halacha. But the Maisa, again, it's not so Maisa for us nowadays. And if you sold it, someone bought a torn shirt, they're not allowed to re-sew it unless they clarify that it's from the ones you're allowed to re-sew, like a different relative after 30 days, etc. The Ramban asks, why do they have to assume L'chomra here? And he says, it's a good umdana. Someone's selling a shirt, and they were allowed to re-sew it, they would have re-sewn it before they sold it and made more money. The fact that didn't resell it is a good. And Rag Lion looked over that it's usher to resell. And therefore, the person has to be choshish. Again, not to lemaisa for us, but us lemaisa over kochavim. This line is lemaisa in kol tarkula. A lot of people don't know this. And again, it's not as relevant nowadays. You're not allowed to sell to a guy. Why aren't you allowed to sell to a guy? Why aren't you allowed to sell to a guy?
Maybe he'll get rid of
Jew. Exactly. Maybe he'll sell to a Jew. There's a halacha all over Shas. You're not allowed to sell anything to a guy that you might sell to a Jew and would create a problem. Chaf. Hakorea. All I wanted to say.
Can you donate it to Africa?
What?
Can you donate it to Africa?
Interesting question. I don't know. I don't think Africa wants it nowadays, so it's not enough to me now. Trust me, even people collecting for Africa don't want torn shirts. Okay, the Gemara says, what if something was already torn once and you resewed it? It doesn't have to be torn once to the Vavela. It's a good torn once to just, either way, it was torn for whatever reason and it was resewed. And you say, I want to save money. Instead of ripping the good part, I'll just rip where it was already resewn. And then I won't do so much damage. So if it's, you can look at the tiles for the definition of melo and shalal and likud and sulamos, it all means unprofessional ways of sewing. It means ways of sewing that don't really look good. So then that doesn't count. Because it's as if it was never sewn. It's as if you're just tearing something already torn. If it wasn't fully fixed, it counts as torn, and you can't tear something that's already torn. But if it's ichoy alexandri, the way the Alexandrians, they were very advanced in the old days, in the time of Chazal, the way the Alexandrians, because the Alexandrians were like, was the center of Greek learning in the Middle East, and they had a lot of good technology. So if you would sew it the way of the Alexandrians, then that counts as if it was never ripped. That counts as a whole garment, and therefore, if you tear it, it's okay. And here we have a big machlokes rishonin. What is Ichi Alexandri? What are the two shitas? What Ichi Alexandri is? What's this Ichi Alexandri that counts as if it's whole? So one shita is if the top, you know, if you sew something, you take two things, and if you're good at sewing, you take two pieces of cloth, you like fold them in a little, and you could sew that fold that you folded in, you fold in like a, you know, a few millimeters, you sew that well, so on top it looks very smooth. You can barely see the little line on top that's sewn so well, but if you look at the back, you would see that there's like a little thing coming out. So I want a piece of paper. Here we go. Okay. Don't ask me why instructions for IRS form W-9 are here. I know why, so I can demonstrate this. Basically, you take the torn clothing, you fold it a little, you take it like this, and you sew it so well that it almost looks like one piece here. There's just a tiny line here. Of course, in the back, you see the whole thing. That's one sheet in Ichi Alexandri. The other sheet is that, no, that's not Ichi Alexandri. That's still ripped. Ichi Alexandri is you reweave it. You sew it together so well that it's like you fix the weaving and you don't even see a seam. There are people, even nowadays, I never checked Alexandria, but I met someone once in New York who knows how to do that. If you rip a suit, he can sew it, and it looks like it's still the original piece. Like he somehow managed to make it look like it's still woven in one piece. Okay, so which is Ichi Alexandri? The Mechaber is Machmir that, as long as it's smooth on top and it's a barely visible line on top, even if it's sticking out on the bottom, that's Ichi Alexandri. The Shach is Mekel, he quotes the Ishma Farshim, sounds like he's Mekel, no, that it's only if it doesn't look sewn at all and it looks like one piece, that's Ichi Alexandri. The Shach is, one second, Machmir or Mekel? The Shach is Mekel. No, the Shach is Machmir, right? The Mechaber is. The Mechaber is Machmer. If you would tear from what I just showed you, the Mechaber would say that's okay. So the Shach is the Mechaber is Mekel, the Shach is Machmer on Ichi Alexandri. How do we paskin? Not so clear, doesn't come up all the time. The Gra sounds like he agrees with the Shach against the Mechaber. In which case, if someone tore from something that was sewn like this, they tore from something that was sewn like this, then the Mechaber would say that that is good enough, but the Shach and the Gro would say it's not good enough. Therefore, we should be machmir and not do that and not be somich on the mechaber here. Okay. Chaf Aleph. Kara ala mace.
What about tearing on a seam?
What about tearing on a modern day seam? A modern day seam is a little different than this case, right? Because after all, it's supposed to look that way. Yeah, but you never know. It could be. It really seems to me that... 1 second.
I think we're fully with that.
Yeah? Meaning... even though our seams are probably what are for sure what the Mechaber calls Ikha Alexandri, but we're not Somech on the Mechaber here. In which case, tearing on the seams would then seem to be, maybe that would be a problem. That's not tearing Ich Alexandri. Make a difference if it was torn once or not. It would seem from here like tearing on a seam would be a problem, right? Oh, you don't want to ruin anything. If you tear on the seams, then you can always repair it. Okay, so you should ruin something. That's part of Kriya. Chaf Aleph. Kara la mace. This, I mean, we hope this doesn't happen, but it could. Kara la mace, mace lo mace acher. Someone tore for one mace, then another relative died. Tov zayin korea kara acher. Let's see if the speech is on this. Within Shiva, he has to tear an entirely new Kriya. And what are the two ways to tear an entirely new Kriya? Either he moves to the side and tears again, that'll be in the next two sifrim later, or he adds another tefach down. Those are both called a new Kera. Either another tefach down, or he moves to the side and does a tefach. La'achar zayin mosel perishin kolshu. After Shiva, then he could just tear a little more, a kolshu, and that counts. If a third mace died after the Shiva of the second mace, then he can just add another kolshu. So if a relative dies 8 days or 8 years later, another relative dies 8 days or 8 years later, another relative dies, each time he just adds a kolshu. And he can keep going until his belly button. Once he hits his belly button, he can't be able to kriya anymore because that's already considered the bottom. What about when he gets to his belly button, then he has to go three fingers sideways and start a new tear. This mildly fun. And what if he went three tears sideways, and then the whole front of his garment all the way down to his belly button, and this guy must have had a million relatives, is all full. Then he turns it around, and now all the crumb in the back, and he has another front. And if that gets filled up, then he turns it upside down, and he can tear from the other side. Again, this in our reality, even however poor people are, they were just getting a new shirt. But what if it gets full and there's nothing left in the whole shirt? Then, even though he's wearing it, it's as if he's not wearing a shirt, and he's pater from Kriya. Okay, the end part of this is not so relevant to modern day life. There's a strange sheet to the Bach and the Shach and some Katan Lamed Beis here, who says that Big Chish, first, the Shach is a whole thing. He's not sure what the Bach means, but simple shot is the Bach means the same as the Shach. That if he tore a Tefach, and then within Shiva a second relative died, he tore a Tefach. And then within Shiva of the second relative, a third relative died, but it's not within Shiva of the first relative. Right?
I'm misunderstanding him. It is a. What he says in the Pashup shot is a very. I think it's a very strange. I think it's a very strange shita. Yeah, it sounds like if here's his shirt, and he tore tefach for mace one on, let's call it January 1st.
Then Mace 2 died on January 5th, so he tore another tefach. Now Mace 3 dies on January 10th. So what would we have said? We would have said, you can't add a tefach to this because it's still within Shiva. You can't add a kol shu to this within the Shiva. We would have said, just add a kol shu here January 10th because this kara is after Shiva. And what the Shach Lebach seemed to say is, no, you can't do that. Because there was like a tseiruf of aveluses, it's as if you're still within Shiva to the first one and you can't add a kol shu. It's very hard to understand. It's very hard to understand why that is. The Badi Ashulchan says he doesn't understand the svara of it, so I'm glad I'm not the only one who doesn't understand the svara. He says, and to say they actually meant something else is too hard. They seem to really mean that. Okay. So Lamaisa, that's exactly what the Shach says. The Shach says that you need a tefach. Why? Because even though it's after Shiva of that first one, since you've been in Shiva the whole time, it's somehow mitzuraf, even though I don't really see why it's a good svara, that's what the Shach and the Bach say. Okay.
The
Bach says you don't add a... Okay, I apologize. I was Murami's this too quickly. The Bach says you don't add a kol shu. The Shach says, what do you mean you don't add a kol shu? Of course you have to tear. As a matter of fact, you have to tear more than kol shu, a whole new tefach. He says, maybe that's what the Bach meant, a whole new tefach. But I don't know. He sounded like you don't have to tear at all, and that's ridiculous.
Right.
Clearly the Bach meant a whole new tefach. The Bach obviously meant a whole new tefach. The Shach, basically there's three opinions.
All right.
Okay, one second. What are the three opinions? Is that the pashtus is you add a kol shu, right? The Bach and the Shach says, nope, you need a new tefach. And the Bach lefi Shach says, nothing. You don't even have to add a kol shu. And the Shach says, why did the Bach say nothing? I think you need a whole new tefach. Maybe the Bach meant you need a new tefach when he said, don't tear a kol shu.
Yes.
And then he says, but no, I think the Bach meant nothing, but he's wrong, you need a tefach. To me, it's obvious the Bach meant the same as the Shach. I don't know why the Shach had to interpret this Bach in such a strange way. I'm sure there's a good reason. The Maisa, the Bach, I know it's confusing. You're right for being confused. It's a confusing Shach. There must be something more going on here that I don't know. Because A, why would the Shach interpret the Bach in such a perverse way? Just to argue on him. And B, why would anyone even have this shit in the first place? Because I don't understand the Svara. I mean, not that I understand, it's just a chiddush. That, like, because there's a bridge between the aveluses, it's as if you're still connected. I guess you could say, once there's a bridge, you're all connected. Lemaisa, bottom line, even though we'd all have said a kol shu, the Shach accused the Bach of saying nothing, says that's ridiculous, and it is ridiculous, and the Bach never said it. The Shach and the Bach say something not ridiculous, that's just a chiddush svara. The chiddush svara is, since it's within Shiva, it's still bridged, and it's if it's within Shiva, and therefore you have to add a tefach. Okay, halacha l'maisa. Hopefully no one should have three relatives die in such close succession. But if they do, we are tasking like the Shach, even though it's a chiddush nisvara. Chaf beis.
What's the din?
Yes,
I'm with you. Someone finds out three relatives died, it's all the same news.
Okay, that is chaf gimel. So let's get there very quickly. Chaf beis. Amar leis aver v'karvi achar zayin meis benova hosif nisach atachto v'lo elgi. I hate to disturb you, but if you could do me a favor. This is a big possible machlokas panoim. I'm not going to go through the shitas hopefully in the base. You also, if you saw the different shitas they've shown them as to whether or not the Rehudim and Seira argues on this or not, we'll just do the halacha l'maisa. Halacha, le'maisa, what happens if, unlike Chaf Aleph is talking about all other relatives, what if, after 7 days, it goes either from father to other relative, or from other relatives to fathers? There could be many different, shitos about this, but halacha le'maisa, we paskin that if it's January 1st and January 10th, if it was first Aviv, and that's an example, and then Beno, just an example of parent first other relatives, then you add a kol shu. If it was first Beno and then Aviv, so clearly adding a kol shu is not enough, but can you just add Ad Shigalos Libo? We paskin Aviv v'imo eina b'tosefes. Right, this is a machlokis. The Bach thinks you can. Right? But both of these are controversial, but the Shach quotes the Bach.
The Bach says, just add ad sheyigale es libo, and we paskin machaber and the Shach. We paskin, you need a new kara entirely.
You can't add ava v'imo einu b'tosefes. Why? The machlokis, between these two opinions at least, seems to be this. Of the emo, you need to split the seam, says the Bach. But if you split the seam for the son, like Ashkenazim do, then you just keep going for the parents. And we say, no, the fact you need to split the seam for of the emo doesn't mean you need to solve the seam, the seam, like the edge, like the top, saw the top is split. It means you need to do a full kriya from beginning to end. And therefore, you can't add to something, because when you add to something, you are not cutting the top, because it was already cut. You need to do a full kriya from beginning to end, therefore you need a new kriya. That's the halacha l'maisa, like the Mechaber and Shach against the Bach. Chav Gimel, Zev's question. What if it's simultaneous? Either they die simultaneously, or you hear simultaneously. All low alayim. Korea kriya achas al shneim. He tears one kriya for both of them. Kara v'acharkach. Mesa. Excuse me. Sorry. So if two other relatives die, then one counts for both them. Kara v'acharkach makes lo mes achar tok shiva. Korea kara v'nei atzmo, bein ba'oso kara atzmo, shemosubo v'korea od tefach o marche gimel etz ba'os. Of the korea tefach l'achodai mosvel kara rishon kolshu. This is about other relatives. Three cases. The second and third case are chazara. If the two relatives die simultaneously, or you hear simultaneously, one kriya counts for both. If one and then the other one took shiva, you need a new one, either a new kira or a new tefach. And if one dies and the other dies after shiva, then you add a kol shu. But what if there's a parent involved? What if there's one parent and one other karov? Kriya tchil avol ima ad libo umarchik shol setzbos kriya tefach ala meis ha'acher. First you tear for the parent ad libo, and then you go three at both sideways. It only counts a new tear if you go three at both sideways. Otherwise, it's just an extension of the original tear. And you tear another tefach on the other mace. Here we see, not only can't you add for the parent to another mace, but but you can't count the same kara for another karov, and for a parent. And therefore, if you hear about this simultaneously, you have to do a different kiyum kriyas avaim and a different kiyum kriyas sarkovav, because they're two different kiyumim of kriya. But if you, for parent dies, and then after shiva another of the krovim dies, then they could just add a kol shu to the original kara, and then the bottom part they're allowed to sew up after shloshim, and that they added, and the top main part they cannot. So what do we see here? When it comes to a parent and shar krovim, if it was simultaneous, then you can't be able to do both together. The parent has to have their own kara. If it was shar krovim first and parent second, you have to have a new kara. The parent needs their own kara. But if it was parent first and shar krovim, then the parent already got their own kara, and that's old news. That's over and done with. Then you could just add for the other relative. That is already chazara from Se'if Chaf Beis. If first another relative died and then a parent, then no matter when it is, you have to start an entirely new one with all the halachos. What if both parents died together? Then since they're both parents, they're the same kiyum, and one kara can work for both of them. Chaf Dalet. Amr lo meis aviv v'karv. Okay, so that's about multiple krovim. Amr lo meis aviv v'karv v'achar nimtzu shuva. No, what about mistakes? They told someone his father died and he tore, and then it turned out it was his son who died. Yotzei de kriyas yotzei why? V'usha no lo tof de dibur. The basic principle is tof de dibur ki dibur dummy. If someone knows the truth, learns the truth, tof de dibur, it counts as if they knew the truth at the time, and therefore they are yotzei. After all, let's say someone told your father died. Say, no, your son died, and then they tore. That would be okay. So tokhu de'idibur counts as if they knew when they tore, and they had the right kavana. Obviously, we see from here that if it's not tokhu de'idibur, if you tear for the wrong person, you're not yotzei. Right, so you have two cases, you're not Yotze. Either you tore for the wrong person, or we'll see, you tore for someone alive. And then they died. Nope, you're not Yotze if you have the wrong person in mind, you're not Yotze if they're alive. However, Tokede Diver counts. Then it says, we have low no lo adachide Diver lo Yotze. Avalam Amr lo mace lo mace to cause a sovereign of who the Kara, the Akaran into Shubano, Yotze filo no lo adachide Diver. But if they just say a relative died and he thought it was his father and tore, and it turns out he was a son after Tokede Diver, then he is Yotze, because since he tore Stam, it could be for anyone. This is very, very, very controversial. There are three cases. What are the three cases of finding out after Tokedei Diver? What are the three cases of Noda Lo Achar Kedei Diver? One is Amru Lo Meis Aviv. No, he is not Yotze. The other case is Amrulo Mace Krovo Vikarastan Mamish. If he Mamish towards Stam, he says, whoever it is I'm tearing on. So that might get into the Suvi Yeshbrira, but we pass in Kriyas Garbanan and Yeshbrira Garbanan, then he's for sure Yotze. The controversial case is, what about Amrulo Stam Vikasavar Aviv Vinimsa Beno? They told him Stam and he fought one way. Does that count as Stam because he don't said anything? Or does that count as, no, a mistake because he thought? The Machabe here is Mekel, but this is very, very, very controversial. The Shach here disagrees, quoting the Bach. Here the Machabe says Yatza, the Bach and the Shach say Lo Yatza. The in Siman Reish Lama Dalid, the Taz is also Mekel. The Gra here is Mekel. The Taz in Siman Reish Lama Dalid. What's in Siman Reish Lama Dalid? Hafar Sedarim. He was Mayfair, and then he thought one thing, and then they told him to Tokedei Diver. The Shach in Reish Lama Dalid also sounds like he's Mekel, which is a bit of a question mark. Okay, Lamaisa, I don't think this really happens much nowadays, but it's a big machlokas. So this is about, you only find out afterwards, the identity. And it's a big machlokas, this is an in-between case. What if there's no deeper, but there's machshava? Does that count as stam, there's no deeper? Or does that count as mefurish, as a mistaken kriya?
In the second case, that there's the chat next to it, there's Yotze.
Uh-huh.
It's his parent died, or his...
Doesn't matter. He finds out who it was later.
And he only tore a tefa?
Let's assume he tore the right amount. Let's assume he tore it. In the end, he tore the right amount for whatever reason, right?
Isn't that Megala?
No, maybe it means Suffolk, right? Or maybe he doesn't know if it's his brother or his son, right? So it could still come up.
In that case.
Yes. But even so, you could say he tore all the way to cover all his bases. Okay. Chaf, hey, Hayulacholiv in his Aleph. His relative was sick and fainted at Karalav, and he tore Kriya Vacharkach Mace. And then he was still alive, and then he died later. Mace tok de Diver, Shel Kriya. Same rule. If he dies tok de Diver, that's good enough. Ain't Zerchia Cheres. You love Zerchia Cheres. Okay, so two cases mistaken. Either you thought the wrong guy, or you thought he was dead and he was alive. So if you fix the situation, Tokedei Diver, it's okay. And if not. Chavav, Armel Meisav, Vekor, Venog, Tzassim, Avelos. If they told him his father died in the Tor Kriya and was Noheg, part of the Yom Avelos. And then they told him he's still alive. Vehipsik, so he stopped his Avelos. And then they told him, no, he was really dead all along. So he's Yotze de Kriya. Why? That's obvious. He tore on January 1st, and his father really was dead January 1st. The fact that on January 3rd, he got misinformation that his father was alive and went to work and forgot about his Shiva doesn't change the fact that when he tore, his father was really dead. The Shach points out here, according to the Ramban, and we'll see this later on, that not only is he Yotze Kriya b'dievet, he's even Yotze Shiva b'dievet. Oh, he only sat 2 days of Shiva, and then someone fooled him with misinformation, and he didn't sit the rest of the Shiva. B'dievet, if someone starts Shiva and doesn't finish it for whatever reason, then there's still Yotze Shiva to the whatever extent, and they don't do it anymore. Meaning you can't, like, make up for days that you didn't do with Shiva. Chavzayin, Katan Shemeshul Meis Mekarin Lo. If a child's relative dies, then we tear his garments. Sounds like it's talking even about a baby when it says we tear for him. Why do we tear for him? What does the Gemara say? Because of what? Because of Agmas Nefesh. So, what is Agmas Nefesh? He's not Chayav, but we tear for him because of Agmas Nefesh in order to make everyone else sad. But you see this kid with a torn garment, they'll all cry and wail and mourn and eulogize the deceased, and it'll be Marbe Bikvod Hames. Since it's not a Chayav Kriya, but only for Agmas Nefesh, Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes here that you don't have to do all the laws of Kriya. It could just be a Kriya Kolshu, because you're not Chayav in Kriya. It's just to, like, upset people. And therefore, you could tear a kol shehu, and you don't have to tear with all the proper rules.
I thought differently. I misunderstood. I guess that it doesn't mean that for the kids' own.
No, it doesn't mean for the kids' Agmas Nefesh. It means for everyone else's Agmas Nefesh. That's why it would apply even to a little kid. Right. And just details. Right. This can happen, by the way. I mean, lo aleinu, we hope that little kids never lose their parents, etc. But mice, you know. But we can hope. But in the way the world statistically happens sometimes. So number one, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, kol shehu. Since it's not a chi of kriya, kol shehu is good enough. The big machlokas here is quoted in the...
Has Rabbi ever seen this guy, like, do this to a baby?
I never noticed. But, and... And the other big issue is the Piskei Tshuva, Sifkat and Yud, says,
is it Yud?
No.
Quotes the, where does it start?
Here we are. The Taz says that even Biyom Shmua Krova Yutir. But he saw in the Tshuva's Masas Binyamin that he does not agree. Says, what if it's a Shmua Krova? Meaning they hear within 30 days. So what about a Shmua Krova? Says the Taz Mekarimo. Meaning they hear 25 days later. Right? And all the other relatives hear Shmua Krova. Yutir within 30 days for all relatives. Says the Masas Binyamin, Ain Mekarin Lo. Okay, if you would look inside of the Taz and the Masas Binyamin, you would see that there's not really a fundamental steer between them. What does the Taz say? The Taz say, you don't tear 28 days later because it's not really an Agmas Nefesh because there aren't a lot of people there who you're going to get upset. All the relatives are already upset. There aren't crowds there. Says Masas Binyamin, of course you tear for him, for Shmuel Krova. There's big crowds who came to pay the honor to the deceased and you want to get them all sad. But Bava Yisrochan says something very logical here. He says, there's not really a real machlokes in the Taz Masas Binyamin. It just depends on the case. If it's a case where, we're not saying there's no funeral or anything. 28 days later, the relatives here and they're sitting at home, then you don't have to tear for the kid for Agmas Nefesh. Because the relatives already have Agmas Nefesh. There's no need. But if there's a crowd coming to pay honor, then you would tear for the kid because of Agmas Nefesh because it'll get the whole crowd to cry and eulogize and show more kavanah meis. So Bava Yisrochan says, I think if you look inside the Masas Binyamin and the Taz and compare their lashonos, it's very logical. It seems to be that they're a little bit talking past each other, and it might just depend. What do they both agree? Just to make the other relative sad, you don't do it. The other relative's already sad. It might just depend. If there are other people around who will be affected by it, you should do it. And if there aren't other people around because it's already old news and there's no funeral, then you shouldn't do it. That's a very logical psak about a shulchan. I want to point out here one very lumdish inyan that comes up here. Even though we don't have time for lumdish inyan, but just the famous Ritzkias. Says the Ritzkias. Here you should know, not everyone agrees with the Ritzkias. Says the Ritzkias, quoted in the Beis Yosef here. says the Ritzkias, that this will talk about a baby, but if he's a Yilachinuch, he has to tear for himself, and he has to tear the shear, not a kol shu. And of course he has to tear a shmua krova, because he has an own fi of kriya, nothing to do with Agmas Nefesh. Here we have a bit of a problem. What is the bit of a problem here? The bit of a problem here is the rush, all the way near the end of your day, the rush says, if a katan's relative dies, he's potter from avelus, and he has a whole machlokis, what if he turns bar mitzvah within Shiva? Does he start or not? But takes us, the Rosh assumes a katan is potter from avelos. So here we have a stira. The Ritzgia says a katan is chinuch in kriya. And the Rosh says a katan is potter from avelos. So, says the, what are the possibilities here? Here is a katan shehigia lechinuch. What do we see in the Rishonim? Here we have kriya. And here we have Avelos. What do the Rishonim say? The Ritzgia says, Chayiv, nothing to do with Agmas Nefesh. He's Chayiv himself, Kedasu Kedin. And the Rush says, Potter. Now, either we have a Stira or we have a Machlokas. Okay, so says the Drisha and the Taz, right? So in the Achronim, there are three opinions. One is the Drisha. And the Taz says, Chayav. And Chayav, says the Taz here, quoting the Drisha. Mikan Rayek Tzah Shekotash Gilachin of Tzorch Lino Kol Dini Avelos. Oh, it's against the Shulchan Aruch later. Okay, it's a Rayek Tzah. Seems to be a Machlokas, right? He says it is a Machlokas Rishonim, and it seems to be your Chayav. Second opinion is the Birkei Yosef, which is not anywhere on this Daf of Shulchan Aruch. But it's the Birkei Yosef in right here. That's the Chidah. He also says Zemachlokis. He just says Potter against the Ritzkias. He says, after all, the Mechaber never quoted the Ritzkias here. The Mechaber say Katan Shigil Achinuch is Chayav Bi'ikaron? Fundamentally, no. He just said Agmas Nefesh. Why did the Mechaber not say Agmas Nefesh for a baby, but for a 9-year-old Chiyav Mamish Bidin Chinuch? The answer is because we don't hold like the Ritzkias. Ritzkias is a big God, but we don't like the Rush. And all the other Achronim, especially the Shach here, in the Nekudas HaKesef, Shach and all the other Achronim say, there's no Machlokes. He's Potter, he's Chayav in Chinuch of Kriya, but Potter from Avelos. And this would be a case, even though the Shach didn't say, like, Achkriya L'chon Avelos L'chon elsewhere, over here he separates Kriya from Avelos. Now, the question is, what's the Svara?
I mean, you don't have to say that. I mean, you don't have to say it's inconsistent with the Shach, that there's a difference between Kriya.
No, of course. It all depends. It all depends what the nature of this difference is. Okay, anyone know why would he be Potter from Avelos? What's the Svara? The Svara to say he's Chayiv is easy. Chinuch. What's the Svara Liftor?
Well, maybe it's not. Maybe you're only Chayiv Chinuch on positive mitzvahs.
This is a positive mitzvah.
what? You don't do certain things.
Okay, you're against the Rav. Anyway, the Dogmer Vava here says, and it's also quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, I thought. Well, it goes to Dogmer Vava. The Dogmer Vava says, because a bitol Talmud Torah says, an Avel's usher in Talmud Torah. How can Chinuch be to not learn Torah? Adrava, the Iger of Chinuch is learning Torah. So therefore, all other mitzvahs become Chayim and Chinuch, but for a technical reason, there's no Chinuch here. What's the technical reason? Because you can't not learn Torah for Chinuch. Okay. Betel Talmud Torah. Meaning, if there was some other mitzvah say that prevents you from learning Torah, there would also be no Chinuch in that say. Because the Iker Chinuch is learning Torah. What's Chinuch? To teach your kids Torah. So the Iker Chinuch is Talmud Torah. You shouldn't keep the kids out of Cheder.
It's not to teach your kids how to do Torah.
It's a Chiddush. I hear the Chiddush. You might say, what do you mean? You never heard of leaving the base medrash to mitzvahs masios? Okay. So it's a Chiddush.
Why isn't learning Torah to
do with it? Right, okay. It's not learning, right? It's a philosophical Chiddush, the very Lithish Dogmer Vava, right? We see from here why the Nevi Yehuda, right, was on the side he was, how Lithish he was, right? Doing mitzvahs. That's not Chinuch doing mitzvahs. Chinuch is learn Torah. And if you can learn Torah and do mitzvahs, great. But if it's learning Torah or doing mitzvahs, better Chinuch of learning Torah than Chinuch of doing mitzvahs. You don't have to agree with the Nevi Yehuda. I mean, he wrote the Dogmer Vava. But that to be said, there are many other svaras also. Anyone want to invent a svara?
Aside from the one I was saying beforehand, maybe there's...
By the way, let me just point out, the Ritzgias himself really held like the Taz. If you look at the Ritzgias inside Nanbeis Yosef, he really held like the Taz.
Yeah, it was more subtle than other things. Like, you know, to put on a talent for shake a lulav is something which is not very complicated. Now, obviously, because that deep kabbalah, but Avelis, like the Iker Kiyam, now if you want to be like the Rav, but the Iker Kiyam is belayed, so you can do the outside external things. Have the capacity to have the internal.
Okay, so I'll pee the rub, maybe you could say. This
That's
is
right.
a big Kiddush, right?
I'd rather pee the rub.
What?
Right, so.
Yesh Lomar, that it's a kiyum. If that Avelis is a kiyum believe, right? According to the rub, the kiyum Avelis is not doing anything. It's having a certain emotion in your heart, and maybe that's too hard to impress upon a katan. Now, of course, you'll say, what if he's 12 years and 11 months old, etc.? But as a general rule, you can tell him, go shake this palm branch with its attendant species. But to tell him to really feel the complex emotions of Avelos might be beyond him. The Kiyum Belev might be too subtle. If you don't like the Rav, against, remember our Rashi in the Morning Seder, that it's a Kiyum Belev. Achrona give lots of technical answers. Also, let me just throw out one or two technical answers, and then I will and then we'll move on. One second. Yeah, one or two technical answers, and then we will move on. There's a million technical answers, but. One answer that Ksav Sofer and others say that this is adding. Ksav Sofer doesn't say this. We hope it won't happen often. Chiyuch is to get them used to a certain pattern. We don't want. We hope his relatives won't die all the time, right? And if they do, it'll be a long time, and he won't need to get used to it. Chiyuch is to get into a pattern of life. This is not a pattern of life. This is something we hope will never happen to anyone. Bilam avos lanetzach, umacha shemel kindilam yal kopanim. And at the very least, we hope it will be many, many years. See, when you're not mechanic for something that you don't really want to happen until, you know, the kid's 80 years old. Chinuch is to get him into a pattern. And avilos is not a pattern.
What? No, kriya is a pattern.
What?
And kriya is a pattern. Just more common with adam kasher or whatever. We still
so,
have that.
Kriya is Kriya is a little tricky. What to do about the fact of Kriya? This works better for the Birkei Yosef than for but that's not what most people say. It's an interesting question, unless you want to say what?
It's about other people.
Yeah, that Kriya, the truth is, made Medina. In the old days, they used to be Ramak, but in other people. I'll just add one more pshat, and then we'll move on. The Chachmas Adam says that there's no chinuch for tsar. I mean, no chinuch, that's not what I meant.
That imposes tsar?
Exactly. We don't impose tsar for chinuch. This is a big question, right? What do we do on Tisha B'Av, on Yom Kippur, etc.? This is very controversial. But he says, no, we have a principle that we don't impose tzar for chinuch. Why? Because they didn't want to tzar the kids. And therefore, we're not mitzar them. Okay, that would explain why we make do kriya. That's not the big tzar. But to say they can't do anything for 7 days, and they can't wash, and they can't clean clothing, etc., then maybe that's too hard for the delicate little kids.
How do we pass them?
How do we paskin? We paskin like the Shach and the other Achronim. That there's chinuch for Kriya and not for Avelos. Okay, let's just take a second here to speed through some of these. I think we can speed through the rest. Chafkes, ready? Everyone put their seatbelt on. Is your seatbelt on? Yoni, your seatbelt on?
Yep.
Okay. Chafkes, Hakarev, Shabbos, Al Mesa, Al Fishachol, Shabbos, Yosef, Kriya. We all know this. It's Yerushalmi. Ah, we don't became a Yerushalmi? No, but we all learned this Yerushalmi morning Seder. If someone tore on Shabbos, they're Yotze. But HaKarei B'chol Gazol Lo Yotze Kriya. If someone stole a shirt and tore it, then they're not Yotze. What's the difference? Why is it Mitzvah Aveir to tear a stolen shirt and not to tear on Shabbos? The answer is, the Yerushalmi says, this is Gufa Aveir, this is Hu Avin Aveira. And one way to interpret the Yerushalmi was the simple pshat. It sounds from the Achronim here, it's a Lundish Kavod. On the stolen shirt, that's an Isser Chefza. Therefore, it's Mitzvah Aveir to use a stolen Chefza. Tearing on Shabbos is merely an Isser Gafra, and therefore that's not called Mitzvah Habav Aveira. Additionally, some of the Farshim Yerushalmi say, tearing on Shabbos like he could have just waited until after Shabbos and torn. So it's not really a tight link between the Mitzvah and Aveira. But tearing a stolen shirt, this is a shirt. If he hadn't stolen the shirt, he would never be able to tear it like this shirt. So therefore, okay, that's halacha ma'aser lied. Katan lo kimla beishukal lo chadashav. A katan who we're not sure his full term, so he might be considered a nafel. Nafel means a preterm baby who is not viable. How do we know if a nafel is viable or not? If he dies within 30 days, we assume he was never born and he's never alive, not for Choshen Mishpat, not for Eben Ezer, not for Orachayim, and not for Yoredea. If he lives 30 days and then dies, we assume he was alive for all halachic and legal purposes. So if, and that is if we're not sure he's a full term. If we're sure he's full term, that's different. Okay? The Lemaisa, the minig nowadays, is what it says in the Shach. We're only sure he's full term if we know exactly from the day of the last Bia, it's been 9 months. We don't necessarily trust what the ultrasound person says. So, a katan, if we're not sure that he's full term, if he dies within 30 days, ofil yom shlosha in karna lav. If he dies within 30 days, or on the 30th day, you don't hear kriya. It's a big machlokas on the 30th day. It's a big machlokas. What's the machlokas about? We paskin, a kid who dies on day 30 is suffik nefel. Suffik whether he was ever alive or not. What's the difference? Suffik? Suffik did. Since we paskin kriya in Rabbanan, we paskin suffik kriya lakula, and therefore if he dies on day 30, lo aleinu, we don't hear kriya. Lamed
aleph. Just back to the full term thing, meaning at once 30 days has passed its full term, meaning he could have been born after.
No. Once 30 days has passed, he's considered to have been born alive no matter what. And therefore, if he dies, he's a regular person.
Let's say he becomes full term. It's 9 months.
He has to be born full term. He has to be born full term. Now I understand your question. Laman Aleph, ain't current be yontif, afilim, we don't take kriya on yontif because it's not docha yontif, it's malacha. One of the 39 hours malacha. Afilim yontif shen yishogolios. It's not even docha yontif shen yishogolios, even though in the old days, we'll see that we don't practice this nowadays in most places, even though in the old days the kvura and kavada mace was docha yontif sheni, kriya is not directly relevant. Only things directly relevant to the body of the mace. Kriya is not directly relevant to the body of the mace, obviously. So it's not docha yontif sheni, even though yontif sheni is only drabbanan. Even the krovim don't tear. But cholamoed, we tear on everyone according to the normal rules. Relatives, chacham, rabbo, adam kasher. We use all the regular rules, which for us, our minhag means relatives. On cholamoed, we tear kriya. Why? The Mishnah says the bottom of dalam days, right? That you only tear for relatives and people you're chayiv to tear for. So it sounds like on cholamoed. However, the Rav Yossi says differently. There are some Rishon, the Rashi brings up Machlokas, say, the Mishnah says, on Cholamoid, only the relatives die, only the relatives tear, and the Gemara says, or all the other cases that are Chayiv. Is that Mishnah talking about Cholamoid or regular day? If that Mishnah is talking about Cholamoid, there's a Chayiv Kriya on Cholamoid. If that, man, what's it saying? Whoever's Chayiv tears on Cholamoid. Whoever's Potter can't tear on Cholamoid, because of Simchos Yontif. But maybe that Mishnah, the Ritva Paskin's this way, or Mefarish this Paskin like this, no, that Mishnah is talking about a regular day. On a regular day, not everyone in the world tears. On Cholamoid, no one tears. So it's a Mishnah in Moed Katan says the relatives tear. We think if it's in Moed Katan, it's talking about Cholamoid and the relatives tear in Cholamoid. That's the Mechaber and many Rishonim. But some Rishonim say, no, that Mishnah is talking about a regular day. There is no Kriya in Cholamoid. So it's a Machlokas Rishonim whether the Mishnah is talking about Cholamoid and there's Kriya, or the Mishnah is talking about a regular day, but there's no Kriya in Cholamoid. And says, Rav Yishon, no, Mishnah, Likra, Cholamoid. Some people say not, but no one in the days of the Shulchan Aruch follows the opinion that there's no Kriya in Chol HaMoed. The Svardim say Kriya, and the Ashkenazim say compromise. Where do they get this compromise from? No source in Shas and Rishonim. Just a compromise. Just a minig Ashkenaz. Rakel of Bimo. V'al Shar Mason Kornel Afar Moed. V'makim Shein Minig Yisrael Kulam. Minig Ashkenaz is to only tear for parents on Chol HaMoed, not for other relatives. But the Rama says, if you don't know what the minig of your country is, you should tear for all the relatives, because the rov rishonim, the ikar din, is to tear for all relatives. So, kriya b'chol ha-moed. So, mechaber and the Rama b'makom she'ein minhag says kol krovim. But the minhag of the Rama is only of the ein. Okay. What do? We're Ashkenazim. So we say, it depends on whether we have a minig or not. Do we have a minig or do we not have a minig? Right? Great question, right? So, very, very, very unclear. Very unclear. Lemaisa, the Mishnah, the Shachir says that in Poland, we're all from Poland. We're, who's a Yekka here? Raise your hand. Okay, so we're all from Poland. Okay, except for you. If your ancestors came from Poland or Russia, then you're Polish. You're not German. Right? So the Shach says, in Poland, there's no minhag, lav d'rama, and therefore we should care for all relatives. So nowadays, what's our minhag? So l'maisa, Ari Olazed, they argue about this, the Mishnah Brura, and Hilchos Cholamoy, Tavkuf Mem Zayin, passing like the Shach. In Poland and Russia, we care for all relatives of Cholamoy, only Yekas care for parents. The Gesher Chaim says, minhag Eretz Yisrael is only to care for parents. So Ashkenazim and Eretz Yisrael follow the German minhag to only care for parents, but in Chutz La'aretz, in most places, we follow the Polish minhag and care for all relatives. So you have to respect the local custom. You never know. You could go to Ashkash and their minhag could be one way or the other way. It's valid. But Lemaisa, since the Rama says, if you're not sure what the minhag is, care for all relatives, and the Shach and the Mishnah Brura say, Polish Jews, meaning anyone but Yekas, cares for all relatives. So Spartan cares for all relatives. Anyone but Yekas cares for all relatives. So that means 99% of Jews care for all relatives. Therefore, if you're not sure what the minhag is, you should care for all relatives of Cholamoid. Most places in America care for all relatives of Cholamoid. But in Eretz Yisrael, in most places, they follow the Yekish minhag for some reason, and only care, even though it wasn't settled by Yekin, and only care for parents on Cholamoid. Okay, those are the two minhag.
Sfardim and Eretz Yisrael, though, still
Sfaya. Sfardim have no question whatsoever. They tear for all relatives. That is not an issue. That is not an issue at all. Let's do one more. Shoma v'regel shmua krova korea v'afilum achar haregel tiye re'echoka. If someone hears on Cholamoid, a shmua krova, within 30 days they have to tear. Remember, for other relatives, you only tear within 30 days. So if they hear a shmua krova in the regel, they tear. V'afilum achar haregel tiye re'echoka. Even though they won't sit shiva. They won't sit shiva. Why? Because they can't start sitting shiva until after yontif, and after yontif will be shmua re'echoka. So even though they won't sit shiva, they still tear in cholamoid. Here's a case where we separate kriya from avelus a little. It's machlokes rishonim. We separate kriya from avelus a little. Even though the avelus, by the time it starts, it'll be 32 days. And there'll be no avelus since right now it's only 29 days. There's kriya on cholamoid. The shach points out that in this case, everyone would tear on cholamoid no matter what your minhag is. Because if you wait, it'll be too late. The one other issue, which we have to discuss in these, in this case, is what about a shmur rechoka? So shmur rechoka for other relatives, there's no kriya after 30 days. What about a shmur rechoka for parents? Here, it's a big machlokes. The Shach and the Taz and the Maharshal say, in a shmur rechoka, since it's old anyway, wait till after the regel. Everyone waits till after the regel, meaning Ashkenazim. So here, again, let's just review the cases. If we have a Shmua Krova for Ashkenazim, there are two minhagim. Shmua Krova, right? Shmua Krova, Al Shar Krovin, the Yiyah Rechoka, Achar HaRegel. Everyone says Korea because you won't have a chance after the regel. What about a Shmur Rechoka Al Avaim? So, on the one hand, you can tear now or after the regel. Do you say tear now because Avaim we tear now? Or no, if it's already been more than 30 days, wait another few days. Here, the Shach and the Taz Marshal say to wait, and the Maharit and others, quoted in the Pesach Shuv and the Gilyon Maharshal, say to the Maharshal, says wait. The Maharit says to Tir. Maharshal says, if it's already old, it can be old. What's the difference? And the most Achronim agree with Maharshal that a Shmur Rechoka, you wait. Now, we don't have so many Shmur Rechokas nowadays, so we have modern communication. But if someone hears on Cholamoid that their father died 28 days ago, they tear. If they hear on Cholamoid their father died 31 days ago, then they do not tear. Okay, now I'm just going to read as fast as I can. So one wears a previously torn garment that pretends they tore kriya, like just for respect. They might not be a relative, just to show respect in the old days. Then they're stealing, meaning gnevas das, from the dead, because they're pretending to honor them, and they don't. From the livings, they pretend to care about the relative, and then they fool them. Someone says, lend me your clothing so I can visit my sick father, and he died. Then he has to tear it, and then he re-sews it up properly and returns it to him and gives him back, pays him for the slight damage caused by tearing and re-sewing. If he told him, can I borrow the shirt, and didn't tell him his father's dying, then he's not allowed to tear it. Why? Because if he didn't tell his father's dying, he doesn't have permission. You can't tear someone else's shirt without permission. That's begging guzzle. That's mitzvah v'aveira. But if he told him he's visiting his dying father, then it's implicit that he has permission to tear it. He said his father's dying. Everyone knows you have to tear a kriya. And therefore, it's implicit that he gave him permission. So it's a big machlokas. Why is he allowed to sew it up again? The answer is, it's implicit he gave him permission to tear it because he didn't want it to be awkward that his father died and he doesn't tear kriya. But he didn't give him permission to tear it and leave it torn because that wouldn't be visible to everyone else and it wouldn't be, he didn't give him permission to tear, so he wouldn't be embarrassed to not tear. But he didn't give permission to tear it forever because it's not embarrassing to sew it up quietly later. Therefore, the assumption is he had permission to tear kriya, he could tear kriya. He didn't have permission to leave it torn, so he's allowed to re-sew it, and he has to just pay him for the damage. Korin Lamed Hey. Ha mashal chaveru choluk. By the way, that becomes very tricky when someone says, can I borrow your shirt to go to the kotel to get out of kriya? Meaning, if I tell you I'm borrowing your shirt to get to the kotel, to go to the kotel, I guess nowadays everyone knows that no one cares about the Beis Hamikdash so much. So that when someone says, I'm borrowing your shirt to go to the kotel, you don't say it's an that he let you tear. You say, Agra, it's an that he didn't let you tear because he knows you want to get out of caring about the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore I guess that would still work nowadays. Unlike this case. Lamed Hey has nothing to do with Avelos pure choshem. This is talking about the old days when people didn't have decent shirts. A guy wouldn't own one nice shirt. Says, can I borrow a nice shirt to do biga to do nichla avelim? If the guy says, I'll lend it to you, and didn't say for how long, we assume he lent him the whole shiva because people would go every day, not just once. And therefore, he wanted to look nice. Baruch Hashem, nowadays, everyone owns at least one shirt which they can go out in public with. Okay, without getting into details, there's a chi of kriya not only for deaths but for other bad news. Number one, Cornel Shmuel's wrote on bad news. What's bad news? If the Jewish people, like in Israel, Chas v'Shalom, has a war and they lose the war, they lose the battle, even if only a minority are killed or captured, but if it's a big military defeat, then you would tear kriya, like in all the stories of Tanakh. Lo aleinu, hope it never happens. And Lamed Zayin also hope this doesn't happen. Shemeh Birch, the Hashem field, because I kinoi. Someone hears blasphemy, someone curses God. Even they use a nickname, Vafil Malchim Laz, even they just say God in English, Chayav Likro. He has to tear Rushi Shemeni Yisrael if he hears a Jew doing it. But not if he hears a Goy, even though Me'ikra didn't, you should tear if a Goy blasphemes. But the Goy will do it all the time, and then Ein L'Davar Sof, and therefore we don't tear. V'yishon Zayin is a Momer Dinuk Ovechom. Some people say nowadays a Jew converted out is like a Goy because he'll just do it all the time and make us tear all our shirts and laugh at us, and therefore we don't give him the satisfaction of caring. There's a lot of lumdus here, we're not going to get into it. We all know this before Mishnah and Sanhedrin. Even if you're here, witnesses testifying how someone blasphemed, then he's Chayv Lakrov, but Edom ain't certain Lakrov on affairs. The Edom don't tear because they already tore once. The Achronim write that was in the old days when there was Mises Bezdin. Nowadays, no Mises Bezdin, so what should Edom do if they see someone blaspheming? They should not tell anyone, so they don't have to make everyone feel Hashem and upset and make them tear their clothing. Only in the old days they should tell, because they have to give them capital punishment. Nowadays, it's better if you see someone blaspheming, not to say anything, and don't spread the bad news. Harosi for Torah and Nisrafot, Tfilin, or Afil Megillah, Achavim, Avim, or Tsubim, Koreash, Nekrios. Someone sees the Sefer Torah, Chas Shalom, or Tfilin, or even one of the books of Tanakh, one of the books of Nach. Torn, Koreash, Nekrios, then you have to tear twice, once for the words and once for the parchment. The doctor surfaces of his rook, my soy, and only, not if it's torn accidentally in a fire. That's terrible. But not as terrible as someone tearing on purpose, like the Maisa, Shahaya, with Yirmiyahu and Baruch, and was it Yoyakim? Was Yoyakim, right? Who burnt the Megillah. If someone burns it on purpose, then that is a tremendous affront to God. It's basically as bad as blasphemy. And therefore, one would have to
Therefore, one would have to tear kriya, just one ha'ara. I will point out that the shach and the taz say here that it's not dafka burning. If someone destroys it on purpose out of chutzpah in any way, then the zroa, meaning on purpose in chutzpah, even if it's not burning, even if they just tore it up or did something else to it, you would also tear kriya. Lamed ches ha'ara yehuda b'chorbanim shalayim b'sam ikhshayim b'pura. We all know this from Arachayim right after Hilchos Tisha B'Av. All these things for bad things that happen, you can unprofessionally sew them. You can unprofessionally sew them up, but you can never be you can never professionally sew them. And you know nowadays we just throw shirt in the garbage. Anyway, okay. Then that's Hadra Lachilchus Kriya. We'll pick up Amir Tzashem next man with Hilchaninus and Avilus. Apologize for the lateness of the hour. I hold there's some heter to go an extra 10 minutes when it's the end of Zman. It's very nice that I hold that. And I wish everyone a Chag Kosher Sameach and a liberating Pesach.